Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I'm in the cockpit, ladies and gentlemen, locked and loaded and ready to roll here in the InfoWar. Going to be live for the next 4 hours. And we have the Bishop of Jerusalem joining us, a prominent Christian leader over there, to break down what's happening now 3-4 weeks into the ongoing Gaza bombardment by Israeli forces. So we'll be talking with him coming up. For most of the show today, I do want to open the phones up and take a lot of your phone calls dealing with the Barack Obama deception, the false hope, the propaganda being put out that he is going to fix everything, he is going to save everybody. If you thought the Barack Obama worship by the corporate-controlled, mind-controlled press was bad previous to him winning the election, it is now many, many times worse. And we're going to be going over some of that as well today. Less than 24 hours out now from the inauguration, George Bush, 8 years, the 8-year nightmare is about to end. But it's kind of like maybe when you have the flu or a cold, and a lot of times when you have a flu or the cold, you'll have nightmares when you're asleep, and you'll wake up from one nightmare, go to the sink, get a glass of water, go back to sleep and have another nightmare. And the next nightmare is even worse than the previous one. And that's basically what we're going into right now. If you think the 8 years of George W. Bush have been bad, get ready. Because Barack Obama is going to bring hell on earth to this nation and the rest of the planet. This is the man. I have never in modern history seen any example in the world of a government, of the media, of the elites getting behind someone like they're getting behind him. And even the Washington Post last week, I had seen it posted on PrisonPlanet.com, but then I was watching some YouTube videos of the Webster Tarpley interview that Jason Burmese did last week, doing a great job sitting in. We appreciate him doing that. And Tarpley was reading from the Washington Post, where they said the posters, the terms, the flavor of it all is Hitlerian / Stalin. And they gave examples and said that the Barack Obama campaign and now administration fully knows what they're doing. But they went on to say it's a little unsettling, but he's a good demigod, and he's going to save us. So they even admit this is classical demagogue, demigod preparation, because they need to get the public hyped up into a frenzy. And after decades of the media tearing down their puppet leaders, you know, normally they just tear down the puppet presidents and imply that they actually run something and then blame the whole New World Order agenda that's very unpopular on them, and then give the illusion that the buck actually stops there and that there's no elite handling and managing things from behind the scenes, no roundtable groups, no power behind the throne. Now they're shifting gears into something we've never seen in modern history in the United States, and even going back to George Washington and others. And, of course, when he was offered the kingship, he said no and went home. That's different with Barack Obama. Nothing has ever come close to this, not with Kennedy, not with Roosevelt, not with Lincoln, this type of just out-and-out worship, unified worship by the media to try to sucker the public into this bandwagon so that they can, in the first 100 days, move in the gun control agenda like never before seen, the carbon tax, taxing the carbon cycle, putting troops on the streets, domestic Stasi groups, forced national compulsory service, new wars, bloated record defense budgets, corporate looting, corporate handouts to themselves, a new super private Federal Reserve owning and running the nation. That's been announced. I mean, get ready. This is it. This is the final destruction of the United States. We are now entering the complete danger zone as the military-industrial complex completely wrecks the United States and butchers the Bill of Rights and Constitution from pillar to post. Transmission continues. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have some big surprise guests in studio coming up this week. I'm just going to throw that hint out there to folks and encourage people to tune in, especially later in the week, for a surprise in-studio guest with a S on the end that is plural. We're going to open the phones up in the next segment at 1-800-259-9231. And if you disagree with me, you go to the head of the line. The only thing that trumps that is somebody calling on their own dime from a country outside of the United States. First-time callers are also welcome as well. 1-800-259-9231 to discuss what you think of the just unparalleled hype, the religious fervor, the cult-like push by the establishment media cold-bloodedly to try to sell the public on going along with the New World Order agenda. That is open borders, North American Union, guest worker visas, total legalization of all the illegal aliens, massive new taxes, hundreds of new taxes federally through the carbon taxes that are coming, enlisting carbon dioxide as a toxic waste, despite the fact that the ocean is majority, you know, made up of carbon dioxide. That's the major point where that comes from. The work brigades, the tattletale squads, it is all happening. It is all coming. And here's some of the headlines today. Obama can save us. Obama can save us, says America, as polls show wave of optimism sweeping the nation. Venezuelan Chavez says Obama has the stench of Bush and is no different. He's right about that. Week ahead, Obama rally or earnings distress? This from CNBC. Are we going to see a big rally as the suckers all enter the stock market again because he's going to fix it all? He's going to change the course we've been on. No, he's only going to keep us right on the exact same course, but throttle forward and put the ship of the New World Order's engines on turbo. Obama team weighs government bank to ease crisis. This is so huge. I thought we already had a government bank, the private run-for-profit Federal Reserve. This is out of Reuters. And, of course, a few months ago it came out in the New York Times that secretly, they won't tell Congress or the public the details, the private Federal Reserve is selling its own bonds to governments and major institutions. And we haven't gotten new numbers in 5 weeks, but a few months into the banker takeover, $8.5 trillion on average, $1.3 trillion a week being taken, and they won't tell anyone where it went, including Congress. Where did all the great transparency go to? And remember, it was Obama who was the main architect of ramming that through with his handler, Rahm Emanuel, the same handler who engineered the big Democratic victory in 2006 in the House and Senate to, quote, end the war. And he laughed and giggled publicly after the fact that they lied to the liberals, lied to the American people, lied to the anti-war majority, close to 80% in major polls against the war in Iraq, wanting to end it, and that they had fooled everyone and that it was so funny, and that he actually worked to defeat true anti-war candidates in the Democratic and Republican Party. But back to the major bank, a new Ponzi scheme, a new front group with new powers for the bankers. The incoming Obama administration is considering setting up a government-run bank to acquire bad assets. Now, when you actually look at the plan they've announced, it's a private bank. But they'll tell the public it's a government bank like they always do. Total deception. And just the level of the lie is what is overwhelming to people. This is out of Reuters. Obama team weighs government bank to ease crisis. I thought the Federal Reserve was that. The incoming Obama administration is considering setting up a government-run bank. Run bank is the key word. Oh, it's private, but we run it, but we're not allowed to see what it's doing. To acquire bad assets, clogging the financial system, a person familiar with the Obama team's thinking said on Sunday. The U.S. Federal Reserve, Treasury, and Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation have been in talks about ways to ease a banking crisis. And how do they ease it? Give themselves unlimited power in all of the money. They'll save us from themselves who engineered it. The U.S. Federal Reserve, Treasury, and Federal Deposit Insurance Corp have been in talks about ways to ease a banking crisis that is once again deepening. Oh, they said if we didn't give them unlimited power and the $8.5 trillion, everything would fall apart and it would just all be over. We'd have a depression. Oh, and that wasn't enough. Now they need even more power, and then that won't be enough. And oh, no, we need even more power. And oh, that wasn't enough. Now we need even more power. Oh, that wasn't enough. Now we've got to put you in work brigades. Now you've got to be forced to work for the government for slave wages or it'll all fall apart. And if you speak out against it, you're with the terrorists that are holding back Obama's great plan of reorganization. A government-run aggregator bank is among the options. Outgoing Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson and FDIC Chairman Shalia Bayer both said on Friday a government bank was one of the number of ideas U.S. regulators had been discussing. When you hear regulators, i.e. top private central bank leaders, the source said advisors to President-elect Barack Obama, who takes office on Tuesday, were also considering the idea of an aggregator bank among a range of options that could be pursued. David Axelrod, a top advisor to Obama, told Reuters that the new administration would have something to say about a fresh approach. Yes, a fresh approach. It's also fresh. Work brigades, tattletale squads, troops on the streets. Oh, it's also fresh. Flotillas of new taxes. It's so fresh. Open borders. It's so fresh. Worship of him as a god. It's so fresh. Carbon taxes. It's so fresh. David Axelrod, a top advisor to Obama, told Reuters the new administration would have something to say about a fresh approach to international crisis in the next few days. All the unpopular. And they're saying it's unpopular, but you've got to give the bankers trillions more and even more power and the power to take over government infrastructure and state infrastructure and to seize national parks and lands. They're all saying this. You've got to do it. It's the only thing that'll save the country is to hand all the infrastructure over to the foreign banks that engineered the crisis. I'm not going to get into the structure of how we're going to approach the revamped financial rescue package. See, it's been revamped. Axelrod said after speaking to a conference of mayors in Washington. What we have to do is approach this with a lot more transparency on the front end. Oh, yes, there's a total transparency will happen. In addition to the steps to bolster banks, Obama officials want to aggressively attack the underlying causes of the credit crisis, the sharp downturn in the U.S. housing market, and related deterioration in mortgage-related crises. And they're going to keep the clamps on the real economy. They're going to continue to kill it, implode it, so they can consolidate it while telling you they're funding the grassroots and funding Main Street, and they'll trot out a few select groups and people that they do give some funds to create the illusion to the herd that something's been done. Continuing with the article, there are a range of things we're going to have to do to stabilize the financial community, and part of it is going to involve housing, and part of it is going to involve how we approach the issue generally, Axelrod said. And it goes on, back to the future, in an outlining of the idea of the aggregator bank on Friday that they just got, Paulson said the government could use money from the Treasury, administer the $700 billion, which is really $8.5 trillion. They're on record in Congress saying that's just a number they made up. It's really $8.5 trillion, and now we don't know for 5 weeks what else they've stolen. I'm sure when it comes out, it's probably going to be $14-15 trillion. I can't even get that in my mind around the trillion number. But again, more deceptions. Every line is a deception. Every line is a twisting propaganda putsch. Just a tapestry of lies, a tissue of lies, a iron curtain of lies. In outlining the idea of an aggregator bank on Friday, Paulson said the government could use money from the Treasury administered $700 billion financial rescue fund to capitalize a new institution that would be able to absorb toxic assets now weighing down bank balance sheets. The hope would be that taking these bad assets off the hands of banks would allow the banks to attract badly needed private capital and renew lending. But wait a minute, they said that they had to have the $700 billion that in the bill said was unlimited. It could be a Googleplex. It could be infinity. You know, they could just make up and say infinity money for ourselves that we have to pay back in taxes. And then the key to all of this, you know, just pay. Remember this, and I know I keep repeating this because nobody else is really talking about it. Not only do the American people have to pay all this money that's given to offshore banks, the trillions a week that they now have made totally secret, but you have to pay the banks interest to give them your money that you're paying for in taxes. So you pay for all the money in taxes, and then you pay the banks to take the money interest. Oh, here's all our money. We'll pay it back. We'll be slaves. We'll have hundreds of new taxes, and we'll pay you interest on it. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is unspeakable. Here's another analogy. You go to the shoe store, there's a $100 pair of dress shoes, and the guy says behind the counter, he says, I've got a deal for you on all the shoes in here. I will give you any shoes you want, and I will pay you interest many times compounded over the value of the $100 shoes I'm giving you. So I will give you the shoes, and then I will pay you to take the shoes. I've been using the analogy of, you know, going onto a car dealership and buying a $60,000 Mercedes, and then they pay you $60,000 to take the free Mercedes. But it's worse than that, because if you look at how the central banks work, they'll give a $1 billion loan to some country or group, and then it ends up being $50 billion on average they pay back at the 30-40% compounded interest. So it'd be kind of like, here, I'll give you these $100 pair of shoes, and I'll pay you $5,000. To take the $100 pair for free. Aren't I your friend? So remember, Paulson said, we absolutely must have this $700 billion or everything will collapse. We have to buy the toxic mortgages and other securities. And then the next day on Saturday after it passed, October 4th, he says, we don't need it for that now. And then now they're back 3.5 months later saying, we've got to have even more money and even more power to buy the toxic assets. It's just unbelievable. All right, a lot more news coming up in your call. Stay with us. We are reporting and covering and tracking the giant distraction and diversion that is Barack Obama, the puppet, the front man, the handled corporate shill, the pitch man for the military-industrial complex owned by the foreign offshore banks that are looting this nation to the tune of trillions of dollars a week. Already irrevocable, devastating damage. While they build up the police and the military and now acclimate the public for the use of those police and military against the American people. They build up the anti-terror system in the name of fighting Al-Qaeda, the imaginary brotherhood, the Emmanuel Goldstein living in the Orwellian caves. And then they overnight flip it and say, oh no, we're going to fight domestic terrorists and protesters, and we're preparing the military to fight the American people for nationwide insurrection. Here we are. And we're covering and tracking the giant diversion. There's this Newsweek headline. This was actually the January 5th Newsweek cover. The new global elite, special double issue Newsweek. There's a global elite? I thought that didn't exist. I thought the North American Union didn't exist. I thought none of this existed. And it's Barack Obama with the globe and all these Orwellian Big Brother symbols around him. And it's got all these world leaders' names like Rahm Emanuel, General David Petraeus, Bill Gates, Jean-Claude Trichet, Nicolas Sarkozy, Eric Schmidt, Jim Rogers, Rex Tillerson, Rupert Murdoch, Angela Merkel, Oprah Winfrey, Bill Clinton. And the names are all surrounding him and energizing him. And it's got all this occultic numbering and all of these different mind control patterns and squiggles. The symbols are all associated with magic. Very occultic, bizarre cover. And it says they're the global elite and they're going to save you and they know what to do. And don't worry, just do whatever Barack Obama says. And this group of elitist insiders surrounding him, they are going to save you. They are going to take care of you. And this is basically a regurgitation of the Rothkopf, former head of the Kissinger group that we had on last year. He wrote Superclass, and in there he admits, yeah, there's 5,000 people that work for an elite banking group, who own and run the entire planet. And if you look at those 5,000, 4,900 and something of the 5,000 are just elite level legates, managers, frontmen. Again, the legate was, under the Roman imperial system, the emperor couldn't be everywhere at all times. And before that, the Senate, when it was running things, it would have legates. And it was normally old, wise men who had shown that they weren't looking to usurp or overthrow or be on their own personal power trips. Learned scholars. And normally an emperor would only have two or three legates, and they could be sent to different areas of the empire to speak as the emperor. And they would hold their arms up at their sides and make a pronouncement. I, in the name of the emperor, speak as the emperor. And then they would speak as the emperor. And that's what these, there's less than 20 families that own this whole thing. And at any one time, each nation will have a legate who can speak at these World Council meetings, most of them secret or private. They're not so much secret anymore because we expose them to great danger to ourselves, I would add. And there's only a couple hundred legates. And then there's a few, maybe a dozen or so, super legates. And a super legate is a Zbigniew Brzezinski. A super legate is a Henry Kissinger. And that's why you'll see presidents and prime ministers groveling to him on television. Because he speaks for the World Governing Council. And so when he tells you something, he is speaking for the World Council that operates as an oligarchy, which in their inner circles is an imperium and governs the imperium. They have all their experts, all their technicians over every subsector. You know, this thing looks incredibly complex, and it is, but they've developed it over hundreds of years of statecraft, and they have different divisions and subsectors that all operate in unison and tandem, and they have think tanks and specialists and groups that study and fine-tune their propaganda and their operations and their systems management and their behavioral psychology about how systems interlock and interlace. And meanwhile, you have a public completely unaware of even what's going on that has no idea that these people are eugenicists and are killing all of us with soft kill weapons. And then once their world government's in place, they're going to use hard kill, hot kill. Anybody thinks Barack Obama is going to change anything other than the way they deliver the agenda of the elite, they're delusional. ABC News admits that a secret list of U.S. military bases to replace Guantanamo Bay, as I told you months ago. He's not getting rid of any of them. They simply have built and set up in the last 7 years a network from Poland to Georgia to Egypt. Places like Cairo, Jordan, they have CIA-run true torture camps. Guantanamo Bay was used, admittedly, the Pentagon's admitted, as a laboratory of how to torture people, how to control people. They have two camps. They have the public camp that they let some media into, and where they show, look, we even feed them. We give them apples, and we give them prayer rugs, And then inside that, there's an internal CIA base where all the horrible torture went on, and that was innocent people they brought in there predominantly. And now, after 7 years, in many cases, of torture, they are going to have show trials that Bush is starting in the United States, where they tell them, we won't execute you if you plead guilty. And then their lawyers have gone into trial, even in the kangaroo courts, and have said, my client was tortured. And so then they have to suspend the trials to get the media attention off of it, and they start them back up. So Obama is continuing exactly the policy. Shut down Guantanamo Bay in the next year, which they're going to do. And then simply take people to the secret facilities they have built all over the world. Guantanamo was only there to develop torture and to sell the American people on, look, we caught the terrorist, we put them in a cage. But they couldn't catch any of the real terrorists because they're all CIA or MI6 or Pakistani intelligence, ISI operatives, and that's all come out. The CIA commander in Afghanistan even admitted in his book, Jawbreaker, and we had him on, that they were not allowed to capture any real Taliban or Al-Qaeda, that they would grab 12 and 14-year-old kids off the mountaintops out there with their goat herds, who couldn't even find the United States on a map, and fly them to Gitmo for hardcore torture. But now that they've gotten the people they need, oh, we've got a top Al-Qaeda guy. For a month, he drove bin Laden in a limo. he's the top guy. But the shallow public that's only halfway paying attention, some of them buy into it. So Obama will do a few things that are symbolic. He will probably shut down Guantanamo Bay and make a big deal out of it. Pelosi's saying we may consider prosecuting a few Bush administration officials on some little side issues. But they can't go after him on anything substantive because the Democrats are all tied in as well. Joe Biden is up to his eyeballs in much of what the Bush administration has done. Most of the Bush administration in key positions like defense secretary are staying on. The rest are Clinton retreads and minions of the IMF, World Bank, and United Nations that are coming in. So it's meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Secret list of U.S. military bases to replace Gitmo. The U.S. military has prepared a list of U.S. military bases that could be used to house as many as 250 detainees currently being held in the U.S. Naval Base at Guantanamo Bay, military officials tell ABC News. The list, which includes Camp Pendleton in California, Fort Leavenworth in Kansas, the Marine Air Station in Miramar, California, and the U.S. Naval Consolidated Brig in South Carolina, has been circulated in a classified brief to members of the Congress and was prepared by the Air Force Joint Staff. That's not even mentioning, you know, it's just the headline, secret list. Those aren't secret. They held the supposed dirty bomber in South Carolina at that brig. Then we have all these former articles that we posted. Ex-Gitmo guard who saw torture calls co-worker psychotic. It goes on and on. And then, of course, got Abu Ghraib and hundreds of other torture camps and death camps all over Iraq, mass graves everywhere. The people just machine gunned, whole families thrown into pits. And those military people are coming back here to be your cops, to be your local CIA commissariat. I mean, they're bringing hardcore classical tyranny with a high-tech integrated overlay, a technological enslavement grid to the United States and worldwide. I'm going to go to your calls in a moment. Coming up, new A&E FBI show portrays 9/11 truthers as dope-smoking terrorists. And this is a complex piece of propaganda. I'm sure you've seen all the ad council, federally paid for billboards, TV ads, newsprint ads, radio ads, where it says if you smoke pot, you're funding Al-Qaeda and that marijuana is terrorism. Because they know that 80%+ of drug users, illegal drug users, only use marijuana. They don't use anything else. So they need to keep that illegal to keep their phony drug war going. And they're now converting the drug war over to the police state war against the American people. You know, the anti-terror war. The anti-insurrection war. So that's a key part of the infrastructure. That's how they got troops on the streets. That's how they militarized police. That's how they got this program into place. So they need to continue in this program, in this A&E program, we'll play the clip later, you've got terrorists who want to fund terror groups in Iraq killing U.S. troops. And 9/11 Truth is funding Al-Qaeda terrorists. Now understand that. 9/11 Truth, the movement, is exposing false flag terror that has been declassified over 200 times by the U.S. government alone. Staging terror attacks, attacking our own bases, attacking our own ships, killing people, and blaming it on enemies that they want to demonize in the press and or attack. So our whole movement is about exposing the fact that this foreign, anti-American, globalist military, our military is now totally foreign controlled, is staging terror attacks. And it's admitted. It's in hundreds and hundreds of newspapers. Israel admits they've staged terror attacks. They created Hamas. Every time they don't want a peace deal, they blow something up and claim the terrorists did it. It's on record. Haaretz, Jerusalem Post, it's all there. It's in my films. Well, I'm already getting into this. The point is, I'm going to cover it more in detail later when we go live in an hour and a half at PrisonPlanet.tv. Simulcast the last half of the show. That in this piece, 9/11 Truth is staging terror attacks, funding terrorists, giving terrorists grenade launchers, and they smoke pot. They're just constantly smoking pot. I want to kill American troops. Oh, smoke the weed. Which then sends the message, people that smoke pot want to kill troops. So the weak-minded troops watch that and then think of the American people as terrorists so that they'll go out more happily and gun down the public as the police state goes into place and the public's forced to rebel. And also glorifies the little spy on the show, the little FBI spy who's there to stop it. And there's this huge domestic threat of domestic terrorists that don't exist. And they're 9/11 Truth and they smoke weed. I mean, doesn't that insult all of your intelligence out there? I'm going to break it down more later. Speaking of 9/11 Truth, 9/11 Truth rant featured in hit TV show Rescue Me with Daniel Shinjata. I want to get him back on the show this week. And then later, council official evicted elderly tenants from bungalows, then moved herself in. Now, we see this in San Francisco in some famous cases. We see this all over the United States, but this is England. And see, they don't just have CPS here in the U.S. and England now under the eugenics program. That's how it all founded, all started. And, you know, my father is a dentist and also oral surgeon, so he has a lot of patients. And he says he has well-to-do patients coming in now, and they'll seem really upset, people he's known for years, and he'll say, well, you know, what's wrong? Well, they're getting a filling done or something, a root canal. And they'll say, oh, it's my mother. You know, she's 88 years old, and we took her into the hospital, and, you know, she had a tiny little sore on her back, and who doesn't get those? So they seized her from us and put her in hospice and are now giving her morphine, you know, killing her. And what do I do? So my dad calls me up and says, what's your advice on this? And I sit there and give him quick advice on, you know, go ahead and call the police. Don't sign anything. Threaten to sue them. Go ahead and have a lawyer start filing suit. Go in and file injunctions that civil rights are being violated. Because, see, there's no due process. They just say, oh, there's a sore on your mother's back. We're going to go ahead and euthanize her. But then they started trying, in that case and some others I've seen, and I've seen this all over the country, personal cases I've seen, they try to then seize the money of the old people. And, boy, their favorite thing is, you see, they have databases. And I didn't know why this was happening back in 1996, 97, 98, when some of the first investigative reports we did before I even made documentaries were about the fact that, say, Rolling Ellingston would go in to have surgery done for colon cancer. Old guy, 70-something years old, veteran, no criminal record, arborist. And Roland goes in. He has the surgery, and they're there, at that time, filling it out by hand. This is how I discovered all this, and now it's just rampant and everywhere, in the schools and in corporations everywhere. They had him, you know, they said, do you live alone? And where do you live? Your property? Do you eat a lot of meals? Is somebody taking care of you? And he thought it was all strange. And then suddenly, when he got out of the hospital, he found on his door all these notices. He was first given 7 days, and when he didn't respond in 7 days, he was in the hospital for 2 weeks, every day was a $2,000 fine. And I first learned of this in 96. So I go over there to his house. We interview him. He lived on West 37th Street. He owned two houses side by side. At the time, they were worth about $500,000 apiece. Now they're worth even more. The real estate was going up. And they knew that. And so the health department goes out, and they have the database, because that's a health department database. Now it's done by computer. You go to have a baby, you go to have surgery, you take your child to the pediatrician, and that's what Obama's doing. Under law now, everybody's going to have, every dentist, every doctor, every nurse is going to have to ask these questions. Do you own guns? Whatever. And then that's owning guns is at risk, so that gets a CPS visit. It's not against the law to own guns, but still you get a visit. Secret police everywhere. That's what this is. All institutionalized into the hospital or into the public school where you trust them, where you're the helpers. I mean, that it's like going to confession now, but using that to spy on people when you go to the school counselor. And that's all used against you. I'm going to your calls in a minute. This is just so important. And so then I found out, well, once I did that TV program, the police a week later came out, knocked on Roland's door. Roland came to the door, and they said, "You're drunk." And Roland was a really quiet, gentlemanly, well-spoken fellow. And he said, "You know, the funny thing is, I might drink a beer every few weeks. I wasn't even drinking. And the cops got me to come out on the front porch, and they slammed him on the ground, put him in the car, and took him to jail for being drunk in his yard." Now, we put all this on TV, and we showed he was getting $2,000 a day fines while in the hospital and then after for uncut lawn and other questionable, objectionable material, which could be anything. So we went and showed his yard that it was 3-inch grass, English ivy, very nicely kept. You know, his business at 70-something was mowing yards. And they claimed a flower pot in the back sitting on the ground without a plant growing out of it was trash. And when we did that report, suddenly hundreds of calls started coming into the comment line. And I was going to all these old people's houses, and they'd say, "I don't know what happened. You know, Bob, when he had a heart attack, he went in, and then suddenly elder care was here trying to force us into a nursing home, and then they took our house." And then I found out about cases where they would steal the old person's house, put them in a nursing home, or send them to hospice to euthanize them, and then the bastards would actually then claim it was seized by the city or claim it had back taxes. And then they would take the house and then sell it on the courthouse steps in closed, unannounced sales, and then they would buy it themselves and move in. And then my grandmother calls in 97, lives here in Austin, and she says, Bill is in the backyard, my grandfather, and there's a city drainage about 10 yards over their back fence, not on their property line. And they said $2,000 a day fines. He doesn't clean out all the brush that's back there in it. They're saying it's from our property, which it wasn't. They didn't even have trees on their back fence line. And I said, "No, I'll come over there this weekend and clean it out, or we'll hire somebody to do it. You know, I don't want him at 70-something years old. He didn't have to, you know, be back there doing it. Wasn't in the best of shape." And then he had a heart attack cleaning that out. And then they tried the similar stuff with them. So then I was experiencing it. They're doing this. Well, here's an article dealing with it out of the Mail Online today. And it says, "As a council official responsibility for helping the homeless, Christine Reeves knows how much people value their homes, which makes it difficult to explain how she came to play a key role in evicting frail and elderly tenants from their bungalows, then moved into one with her partner. The 52,000 pound, that's about $110,000 a year, head of Neighborhood Strategic Housing, was just one of 18 council employees who took up residence in former sheltered accommodation at the Greyhound opening site in Norwich. So what they do is they invite through the socialist system, old people, move into these little bungalows. They have to pay, but it's subsidized by the government. And then they come in and they grab them and stick them in the euthanasia centers. I mean, these people are sick. And they do it all day long, and nobody's going to stop them except us, the American people, and the people of England and the world. These are parasite degenerates, and they have to be exposed and dealt with, okay? I have seen this myself, okay? That's why I hate the government and hate the city hall and know they're a bunch of scum, because they do it everywhere. She also benefited from the rent at one house bungalow she took over 2 months ago. So that's also what they do. They take houses and rent them out. Similar properties in the area cost between $350 and $750 a month. So on her own house, she set the rate for herself from 750 pounds a month to 47 pounds a month. So the bureaucrats don't just take the houses and move into them and stick the old people in the hospice, they also, I mean, it is even for them. They don't care. They're parasites. They've run rampant. And they're about to create millions more of these bureaucrats in England and tens of millions here. As the Declaration of Independence says, to go out and eat out our substance. Ms. Reeves, 38, has now been suspended on full pay by labor-run Norwich City Council. Yeah, if folks were to riot in that city, she'd end up being arrested. Just like they finally arrested the cop last week who cold-bloodedly murdered the guy and then started slapping him around after he'd shot him for no reason. Council leader Steve Morfin has promised to make good the damage. Ms. Reeves, 38, has now been suspended with full pay, which admits conflict of interest rules were flouted. Conflict of interest? Throwing old people out of their houses and then stealing them for your greedy, pus-filled demon spirit? You piece of trash, you need to be taken to prison. I'll tell you how the secret police system works. But I'm going to do it later. I want to go ahead and go to your phone calls. Because grabbing and euthanizing the old people and stealing their houses and their money through fines is only the tip of the iceberg. They know these old folks don't have children living in the city. That's why the health department asked those questions at the hospital. The nurse asking the questions doesn't even know what this stuff's being used for in most cases. Oh, do you have any family living here in town? How are you doing financially? And then they'll ask the wife, does your husband ever abuse you? Do you guys ever argue? And the old lady will say, oh, we get in arguments like anybody. We've been together 49 years. And they're just going, I'm releasing black ops on you. I'm going to own everything you've got, old lady. But they're just smiling. Oh, thank you. I want to help you. I want to help you. I mean, just scum. And they're doing it everywhere. And I know they're doing it. I've seen them do it. They're doing it everywhere. And it just goes on and 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 on. Let's go to your phone calls. Tony in Illinois, you're on the air.
Greetings from the Chicago prison grid there, Alex. How you doing today?
Pretty good, my friend.
Hey, I got a couple things actually, but first about with the senior citizens and stuff. Believe me, my mother works for the state of Missouri in the Department of Aging. And her, you know, it's a constant frustration with her trying to get funding or care for people in genuine need because the money and care are going to basically what she describes as lazy, lazy people in their, they're people my age, your age, Alex, that are, would be fine if they hadn't ate a diet of Big Macs for 10, 15 years. Just
well, let's be clear. Let's be clear. There are good police officers, there are good social workers, but the system itself is corrupt. So, that's why 50%+ of CPS workers quit in the first year. It has the highest turnover of any government job because they go into it for the right reasons. They want to stop people beating their kids with tire irons or things that are going on. But the evil the government commits in the name of stopping that is much greater, and the overarching program is meant to break up families and extinct the family unit. That's the stated reason it was all founded. So there are people within the system that try to do a good job. There's good school teachers. But the point is the system itself is designed for bad.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right, I mean, as far as that goes. But while we're also on the Obama coronation this week.
It's a coronation.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, here we are. We are broke. I work in, a customer service job. What else is there? But my job is contingent upon the American people's ability to purchase things from a major corporation. My phone sits silent for an hour at a time easily. We're in huge, but they're going to waste $150 million on this bread and circus show that I find, I mean, for me, it's mortifying. You know, everybody, oh, it's historic. Well, you know what? It's Martin Luther King's dream realized. No, if I just watched that speech an hour ago, Martin Luther King's speech, and if you look at it, it's a beautiful thing. You have a crowd that is truly diverse. Everyone's standing together. But then you go back to the night Obama won that election, it looked like the proverbial Seinfeld cookie. And anybody who watched the show knows what I'm talking about. It's a black and white divided cookie in half. I'm scared. I'm scared they're going to pull crap in Washington, Alex. What have you heard about that? And I'll let you go.
Well, they'd love to pull an operation or foil some white supremacist attack to legitimize putting regular army troops on the streets along with National Guard. Again, all of this is a conditioning, acclimating exercise to train the people. So I am worried. We'll be tracking it live tomorrow as it unfolds.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I have a lot of people emailing me, calling the office saying, do you think that there's going to be a staged terror attack in Washington, D.C. tomorrow with millions of people there for the historic coronation of the new emperor, the new God emperor that will save us all and bring us heaven on earth, milk and honey, Barack Obama, with his hordes of millions of thieving, stealing bureaucrats and regulators and micromanagers, and his hordes of regular army to police the American people. I know this, you know, they've got 20,000 troops, 10,000 regular army, 10,000 National Guard, and then 25,000 other police, all commanded by the Secret Service and the FBI. And just like at any big event, the Super Bowl, college bowl games, for a decade you've had military out at the events, NASCAR conditioning you, having military search people's bags, getting you ready for putting troops on the streets of America, which people denied was going to happen, and now they've announced it, and people go, okay, well, it's a good thing. Though the military announces on record that it is for the American people, not to fight terror, but to suppress the American people. That is Bill, you know, that is what the bills state. That is what the John Warner Defense Authorization Act states. That is on record. I'm not saying anything will be staged tomorrow. It's also a major magnet for crazies. There's a good chance there'll be some crazies on their own there, you know, out of their mind, violent schizophrenics who think that they're really Obama and how dare him, they've got to stop the imposter from taking over. You know, that's the classic type of MO. Or Obama's the Antichrist and they've got to, you know, they've got to kill him. Or they've got to get within 100 yards of him to do a magic spell to reverse the Antichrist. I mean, I've studied crazies. I've dealt with crazies. That's the type of MO you see, if it's a real organic nut. But more often than not, you've got federal handlers of teenagers and groups. Remember 2.5 years ago, the case in Miami where they went and found the Black Street group of Rastafarians, and then on the news that they were Muslims planning to blow up the federal building in Miami, and it turned out it was all staged and made up, and the feds gave them hundreds of thousands of dollars to just dress in military fatigues and bought them a warehouse to live in, and would only give them money when they would, you know, they'd say, we'll give you another $100,000, but you've got to go videotape the federal building. They couldn't even get them to talk about attacking it. Or, you know, they deliver ammonium nitrate to some young Muslims up in Toronto. We see these type of cases. Or they've had white supremacists at the Denver DNC, and then when in several other cases around the country when Obama was going to be speaking, they'd catch some 19-year-old skinheads whacked out of their mind with swastikas all over them who were on their MySpace or Facebook with pictures of machine guns and who would just go, you know, get drunk in a trailer and shoot their mouths off about, yeah, we'll wear white top hats and drive in standing up in the top of monster trucks and we'll kill 5,000 people and we'll shoot missiles. They go out and they find lunatics, and then the FBI handles them and manages them, and I'm sure right now they are planning this. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but they've done it before, so it could. The FBI is probably, in every case it turns out, the leader of the group is an FBI agent or informant. They don't just infiltrate them. They go out and set them up. They go out and find the mental patients. They go out and find the unstable people, and then they bring them to the location And then they'll sting them and bust them in the nick of time. And, oh, my God, look, they wanted to kill the new emperor. Oh, see, it's good to have the 20,000 troops and the regular army and the surveillance and all of it because, you know, they tried to stop the dream. If they would have killed Obama, then he couldn't save the economy. And we'd all be doomed if it wasn't for big government and our new savior, Obama. So all the police state is now legitimized and a good thing. So if we do see something like that, it'll come out a few weeks later that a Fed founded the group, led the group, ran the group, and that they were all mental patients. So I think there's a pretty good chance that something like that will probably happen tomorrow and be foiled.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I will probably end up doing an extended broadcast tomorrow, not just 4 hours, might be 5-6 hours long, covering the coronation of our new Supreme Emperor, Barack Obama the First. May he live forever. Oh, glorious leader, save us. This would be hilarious if it wasn't so dangerous. But let's go ahead and go back to your calls, Randy, Matt, Mark, Joe, Rachel, and others. Randy in Canada, you're on the air on the eve of the coronation of the God Emperor.
Hello, Alex. I'd like to ask you two questions, separate questions, but kind of big questions, so I'll try to be quick. The first being, since we're part of a North American Union, the things that Barack Obama will instill, as in youth brigades and military service and even martial law, would that affect people as well as in Canada? Would our government follow suit with him? That's my first question.
Yes, the same programs are being implemented in Canada and in England, in many cases under the exact same names or similar names, because Obama isn't running anything. The social engineers decades ago developed the very programs that we're now being phased into right now.
Okay, now my second question is 2 weeks ago I heard you talking about something about UFOs, and you said balloons or whatever in the air. I forget exactly what you said, but what I want to ask is, could you give me a little history on Operation, is it Blue Beam? And would Barack Obama be the person to instill that?
All right, I appreciate your call. Let me try to answer that question. For the last 2 years, the mainstream media has legitimized extraterrestrial life and is basically saying we are being visited, something is going on. And so that would hint to the public that the establishment is strongly considering implementing something along the lines of Project Bluebeam, which is a partially declassified U.S. government plan to have staged alien extraterrestrial landings as a pretext to unify the planet around the contact. That would be a societal revolution. It would destroy a lot of people's basic faiths. It would be great to cause a major upheaval. And then they've talked in a lot of government documents about having it be a hostile threat as a way to unify humanity. And Ronald Reagan and many others, Gorbachev, have talked about that. I don't get into a debate about whether they're in the hundreds of billions of galaxies that Hubble's telescope itself has photographed, with billions of planets in the solar systems that are in those galaxies, that there isn't life in the universe. I'm sure there is. This just isn't a radio show where we get into little green men and chupacabras and yetis and abominable snowmen, because that whole genre then basically mixes in. And I'm not knocking those people. That's interesting stuff. People are into it. That's their prerogative. I just don't mix in speculative things and the things that are sensational that aren't provable. And so I never really weigh in on the subject. The reason a few weeks ago I talked about high-altitude homeland security blimps was because it has been in the news that they've put them over every major U.S. city. They can watch thousands of square miles from 90 to 120,000 feet where they place them. They're unmanned. They have face scanning technology. They have biometric scanning technology, heat resonant signature technology that can create a fingerprint on any individual car or any individual human just from the heat signature of your head from above or the shadow you cast and the way you walk. They create a biometric algorithm key number with that. that's the, quote, secret weapon that Bob Woodward wrote about in his latest book. It's not so secret. It's admitted that they have it. And DARPA developed it decades ago. It's just now been implemented. And so I don't watch a lot of TV, but just in the last 6 months, I've caught Larry King Live myself, I think three times, saying, what are these giant cigar-shaped craft over Dallas, over Tucson, Arizona, over Los Angeles, over Salt Lake City, over cities in Canada? And they'll show the video on ABC, on CNN, and it's a blimp. It's at 100,000 feet. It's got the four fins on the back. It's got the camera pods. It's got the solar panels on the side and the top. It's like the Goodyear blimp. I mean, it's a blimp. It's like saying, what's that? Oh, that's a biplane. Well, what's that? That's a 777. You know, what's that? That's a fire hydrant. It's a blimp. There's no debating it. And then they get on the news and say the FAA won't say what it is and says they're not picking it up on radar and that it's not of human origin. And because the FAA says so, it must be aliens. And some say it's a blimp, but they're a conspiracy theorist. I mean, they launch these blimps. They announced 6-7 years ago, just Google Homeland Security blimp. You'll see videos of them launching. You'll see photos. You'll read mainstream articles about how they launch them, how they're above us. So it's weird how they do these programs. They announce they're launching them. They launch them. They're there. And then when the public sees them, they say, doesn't exist. You're not seeing it. Or we don't know what it is. We're launching F-16s to check it out. And it's a big silver blimp with four fins on the end of it and surveillance pods hanging off the belly of it. And a 5-year-old. You know, I was at home watching the video on YouTube of an ABC newscast, and I said, son, come over here and tell me what that looks like. And he goes, that's a blimp. That's a blimp. The blimps are neat. I saw a big blimp, Daddy. Ron Paul had a blimp. And I say, thank you. I even did the test. My 6-year-old knows what it is, but adults go, it's aliens. It's just the public is so mindless, so dumbed down, so incredibly just. I'll never forget the White House press corps with the White House press secretary, and they were asking her a few months ago, is it true the dollar's been devalued? Is it true that's why things cost more? Is it true? And she said, the White House will not tell you that. I'd be fired if I told you. And then they all went, gee, we don't know if it's been devalued then. As if they couldn't go look at the money index for that day, the currency index. I want to go back to your calls. We're running out of time here. We've got a guest coming up. But we'll continue with calls in the third and fourth hour as well. The guests are just on for two segments. I want to shift gears into the Gaza situation for 30 minutes, then we're going to go back into Obama and break down that and his true agenda. But, I'm not that smart, folks. My 6-year-old knows it's a blimp. It's a blimp!
No, it's cigar-shaped craft from planet Snibblebob, and they're here watching us. What will they do?
And then I'm the conspiracy theorist because I'm saying that's not aliens. That's not an unidentified flying object. That is a Homeland Security blimp. Here's the ABC News. Here's the CNN footage of it. And we posted articles right next to 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when Homeland Security announced it. It's the same blimp, the very same model. A gigantic surveillance blimp. I remember when Alexander Haig had a TV show. Before I even got on the air here locally in Austin, it was on the county channel on cable for some reason. It's nationwide syndicated. He did it for a few years. And I remember Alexander Haig in 1992, I was a senior in high school, and I remember watching his hour-long daily news show, thinking it was very interesting, where he admitted that he is the majority owner in a company that was going to sell to the federal government giant blimps that were unmanned to surveil the American people much cheaper than satellites, and that would be for our security against terrorists. 1992. Doesn't matter. Doesn't exist. I went on Man Cal Mueller's show last week. I'm on there again tomorrow. And I brought up the blimps, and he just started laughing, saying there's no such thing. And I said, just Google Homeland Security blimp. He said, no. Let's just go to your phone calls. Matt in Ohio, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. Been listening to you for a few months. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
My eyes were open when I first saw Loose Change. It really hit home when I saw the part where I believe it was Flight 93 that supposedly crashed. It was spotted landing at the Hopkins Airport in Cleveland.
Yes.
And the passengers were escorted to an abandoned NASA building, never to be seen again. Astounding.
Which is absolutely exactly, astounding. And that was on the local news, and that is multiple news outlets, TV and radio reported it, and that's exactly what's in the Operation Northwoods headline, ABC News, U.S. government plan to attack U.S. cities as pretext for war. And that was, of course, with Cuba, but they didn't do the plan. And they said, we'll have drones take off, have other people, highly publicized, get on planes who are ready to be sheep-dipped, go deep cover. We're going to stage their deaths. And we'll have them get on the plane, stage their deaths, and then the drones will go in and hit the targets.
Yep. It's just absolutely astounding to me, man. You know, and people just, how do people not believe this stuff? I mean, you know, I've talked to hundreds of people, family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, you name it, you know, and 99% of which are not receptive to what's going on here. You know, how do I enlighten them about what is really going on without convincing them that I'm an absolute lunatic? I mean,
I have found it's not as effective just to talk to somebody. It's better to give them an end game or a Loose Change final cut, a copy, you know, make copies of my films, get them out to folks, and just say, hey, this is some really interesting stuff. Watch this. Tell me what you think of it. But, you know, it may be the group, the area you're in, the demographic, or people that know you. Statistically, salesmen will tell you it's harder to sell somebody you know than somebody you don't know because they have preconceived notions or they think you're trying to act. The average person in the West thinks someone warning them about something is showing off. I mean, if you know state capitals and basic political facts or a bill number, people will look at you like, you know bill numbers? What? You're some kind of crazy person. He thinks there's blimps, but they're aliens. I believe they're aliens, but blimps, you're crazy. I believe little green men before I believe blimpers. So the most effective thing to do is to give them a video or a book. Most people don't read, so video is the mode. Or send them a link to a video. Does that answer your question?
Awesome.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Mark, Joe, Rachel, Mr. X, stay with us. I'm going to start doing radio audio blogs commercial free every single day. And in the next month, I'm going to announce a whole bunch of new things we're doing. One of them is going to be a daily 5-minute news boil down where I'm consigned to 5 minutes. Got to keep it focused, hard hitting for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, which will then be ripped to the four corners of Earth, of Terra Firma. And we've got a bunch of other stuff I'm going to be announcing that is huge, that dwarfs all of that in the next month. Because if you think I'm going to sit around while the New World Order is coming down on us, when they're already shutting down the web, already getting rid of net neutrality, we have got a limited window to move against the New World Order, and I am going full bore against these guys. And I hope you'll join us in that fight to wake up everybody you can. All right, let's go ahead and go to the UK. Joe, in the United Kingdom, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I was a bit of a skeptic years ago, but I'm trying to piece this together over the web because, you know, it's almost perfect information out there. I just want to ask you a couple of questions, really. I might digress here. In Tel Aviv, there's the Israeli Supreme Court. Are you aware of that?
That's with giant all-seeing eyes to Horus and satanic runes all over it.
That's right.
And a huge plaque saying that Lord Rothschild paid for it all.
That's right. On the internet it says commissioned by Lord Rothschild, obviously a part of the Illuminati.
Well, it's not on the internet. I mean, it's not just photographs and news articles alternative. Mainstream news says that.
Right, right. I just try to piece together, obviously this New World Order, Illuminati, there's obviously an eventual focus, a goal. It's similar like
Let me tell you the goal. Let me tell you the goal, then you can ask your question, but I know what it's going to be. What is the ultimate expression of a vicious control freak? Why does a serial killer love to grab a three-year-old child off the street and rape him and torture him for 3 months and then kill him? Because they love the power of the poor, helpless child screaming and begging and in pain. That's the ultimate expression of a control freak. Now, wicked control freaks are in control. They are very capable, professional psychopaths, not your low-level street type. And they are setting up world government to kill 90% of us. Their official documents say 80. Now they're moving into 90%. And now the latest info coming out of every major biology department, every major eugenics department of every major college is that they want to kill 99%. Now, again, they didn't want to say everybody at first because that would scare their minions who believe they're going to go into the future. Now, a minority, but an elite minority, say the goal is total human extermination, including themselves. The greatest control freak action is to kill everyone. Go ahead.
But I want to just look at it in terms of respect. On the web, it says basically you're still a Christian background. Is that right? Of a Christian background, is that correct?
Yes, but don't associate that with Pat Robertson.
No. I'm just saying traditional Christian values kind of thing, yeah?
Well, traditional Christianity is not real Christianity. That's a tradition of the last 200 years manufactured. Lay down to corruption. It's the end of the world. Don't fight evil. It's not your job to fight evil. I am not that type of Christian. I am somebody who burns, like Ezekiel said, it's burning in my bones. That's why I can hardly even focus when I'm on air. I'm just burning. Look, I know all over Austin where I live, they're grabbing old people, stealing their houses, and euthanizing them. It's in the news they're doing it, and no one's stopping them. I know where I live that the Texas Youth Commission is a giant pedophile ring where they rape the children en masse, and with the older kids, they have gladiatorial fights with sports betting where they fight with weapons, and no one's going to stop them. They're going to continue doing it, and it's admitted. I mean, I know they're putting cancer viruses in the vaccines. I know Bayer, on purpose, shipped out over 100 million ampules of factor 8 that kills every single person that takes it, and their own documents came out that they knew it and they did it on purpose. I know they're evil. I know they're attacking us. I know they're destroying the environment while giving us a phony environmental movement to tax the carbon cycle. I know we're in one crazy situation, sir.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, going back to this building in Tel Aviv, right, basically this is what I started to believe in, this whole concept of it, etc., about there has to be an ultimate focus goal. And with this satanic nature of the Illuminati, if I'm correct there, basically, I'm from a Muslim background, right, and what the Quran says, right, is Qiyamah, which is end of days, yeah? Same in Revelation, same in most religions. But what it says, the Antichrist will appear between Syria and Iraq, somewhere in Palestine. So my ideas have to be based on the truth. Whether that's
tell you what, stay there. If you can hold, we got our guests only coming on for about 20 minutes. I'll come back to you and everybody else. I want to go to Rachel. I want to go to Mr. X, Stan, Mark, and others. Everybody, stay there. We're going to get back to you, and you stay there too, Joe. I'll go back to you first. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're here live. Then I come back Sundays with an abbreviated transmission from 4 to 6 p.m. Ria Hanna Abu El Asal is our guest for the next 25 minutes or so. He is an Anglican from Nazareth. He graduated from Nazareth Baptist School, where he also taught. While at Nazareth, he was a member of the PLP, the Progressive List for Peace, a joint Jewish-Arab political party which existed only for 8 years. He is considered to have, and it just goes on to talk about the work that he does. He is the Bishop of Jerusalem, very, very prominent religious leader there, and he can give us a perspective from there on the ground with what's really happening in Gaza. And so it's good to have you here joining us from Jerusalem, sir. Do we have him on air? Sir, are you there? Yeah, we're going to try this again later. The network will not put the codes in or doesn't have them to be able to call many places overseas, Genesis. So I'm trying to call him here from our studios. And so let's just reschedule that. Thank you very much. Just get on the line and tell him thank you. We'll suspend that. Thank you. Speaking of Israel, go ahead and play the clip. A lot of people talked about this over the weekend. UK Jewish lawmaker, Israel forces acting like Nazis. Israeli military action in Gaza is comparable to that of German soldiers during the Holocaust. A German UK lawmaker whose family suffered at the hands of the Nazis is saying. And that's Gerald Kaufman, a member of the UK's ruling Labour Party, very prominent, also called for an arms embargo on Israel. So with this unique perspective, let's go ahead and play that, and then we'll go back to your phone calls. Here we go.
Sir Gerald Kaufman.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I was brought up as an Orthodox Jew and a Zionist. On a shelf in our kitchen was a tin box of the Jewish National Fund, into which we put coins to help the pioneers building a Jewish presence in Palestine. I first went to Israel in 1961, and I've been there since more times than I can count. I had family in Israel, and I have friends in Israel. One of them fought in the wars of 1956, 1967, and 1973, and was wounded in two of them. The tie-clip which I'm wearing is made from a campaign decoration awarded to him, which he presented to me. I've known most of the prime ministers of Israel, starting with the founding prime minister, David Ben-Gurion. Golda Meir was my friend. So was Yigal Alon, the deputy prime minister, who as a general won the Negev for Israel in the 1948 War of Independence. My parents came to Britain as refugees from Poland. Most of their families were subsequently murdered by the Nazis in the Holocaust. My grandmother was ill in bed when the Nazis came to her hometown of Staszów. A German soldier shot her dead in her bed. Madam Deputy Speaker, my grandmother did not die to provide cover for Israeli soldiers murdering Palestinian grandmothers in Gaza. The present Israeli government ruthlessly and cynically exploit the continuing guilt among Gentiles over the slaughter of Jews in the Holocaust as justification for their murder of Palestinians. The implication is that Jewish lives are precious, but the lives of Palestinians do not count. On Sky News a few days ago, the spokeswoman for the Israeli army, Major Leibovich, was asked about the Israeli killing of, at that time, 800 Palestinians. The total is now 1,000. She replied instantly, 500 of them were militants. That was the reply of a Nazi. I suppose the Jews fighting for their lives in the Warsaw Ghetto could have been dismissed as militants. The Israeli Foreign Minister, Tzipi Livni, asserts that her government will have no dealings with Hamas because they're terrorists. Tzipi Livni's father was Eitan Livni, chief operations officer of the terrorist Irgun Svai Leumi, who organized the blowing up of the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, in which 91 victims were killed, including four Jews. Israel was born out of Jewish terrorism. Jewish terrorists hanged two British sergeants and booby-trapped their corpses. Irgun, together with the terrorist Stern Gang, massacred 254 Palestinians in 1948 in the village of Deir Yassin. Today, the present Israeli government indicate that they will be willing, in circumstances acceptable to them, to negotiate with the Palestinian President Abbas of Fatah. It's too late for that, Madam Deputy Speaker. They could have negotiated with Fatah's previous leader, Yasser Arafat, who was a friend of mine. Instead, they besieged him in a bunker in Ramallah, where I visited him. It's because of the failings of Fatah since Arafat's death that Hamas won the election, the Palestinian election in 2006. Hamas is a deeply nasty organization. but it was democratically elected, and it is the only game in town. The boycotting of Hamas, including by our own government, has been a culpable error from which dreadful consequences yes. have followed.
Absolutely.
The great Israeli Foreign Minister Abba Eben, with whom I campaigned for peace on many platforms, said, "You make peace by talking to your enemies." However many Palestinians the Israelis murder in Gaza, they cannot solve this existential problem by military means. Whenever and however the fighting ends, there will still be 1.5 million Palestinians in Gaza and 2.5 million more Palestinians in the West Bank who are treated like dirt by the Israelis, with hundreds of roadblocks and with the ghastly denizens of the illegal Jewish settlements harassing them as well. The time will come, not so long from now, when they will outnumber the Jewish population in Israel. It's time for our government to make clear to the Israeli government that its conduct and policies are unacceptable, and to impose a total arms ban on Israel. It is time for peace, but real peace, not the solution by conquest, which is the Israelis' real goal, but which is impossible for them to achieve. They're not simply war criminals, they're fools.
All right, later we'll open the phones up and get your take on that perspective from a Holocaust victim. But I apologize to the bishop for our phone issues connecting into Jerusalem in Israel, but we do have him, and his name is Ria Hana Abu El Asal, and we appreciate you coming on the show, Bishop of the Anglican Church there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, you've got the floor in the limited time we have. Tell us what's really happening in Gaza right now, sir.
Well, the shooting seemed to have stopped, at least kind of stopped. But in my opinion, the war is still on. And as long as the root cause of all this conflict is not dealt with properly, justly, objectively, compassionately, I fear that the next round or the next rounds will be far more bloody and far more deadly. The situation in Gaza is very, very tragic. Hundreds of homes have been bulldozed, completely leveled to the ground, often on top of the residents in them. The number of people killed exceeded 1,300. Most of those are children, women, and of the aged. And of the injured, body and soul certainly, the number is 5,400. Many of them, they say about 400 are very serious injuries, and some of them will continue to be handicapped for the rest of their lives if they survive. The situation demand the attention of the whole world to put an end to this pain, to this death, to this killing, to this fear, lest the whole Middle East, perhaps even beyond the Middle East, will be drawn into a war which nobody would benefit from. The Israelis, in my opinion, and the opinion of many among them are also Israelis on the left, have said that the war accomplished very little, if any. The goals have not been achieved, except for the fact that they managed not only to kill so many and to ruin so many homes, but also they have become experts, the Israeli establishment, in kind of destroying their reputation in many parts of the world. Among those communities in the world, the Americans, the British, the French, the Spanish, the Germans, the demonstrations, they draw hundreds of thousands, in fact, millions around the world in support of the people of Gaza, in support of Gaza being free, in support of Gaza being free, certainly from the siege that was, and that the Palestinians are equal human beings, entitled to human rights, entitled to national rights, entitled to self-determination, entitled to an independent Palestinian state on Palestinian soil, side by side with Israel, in accordance with the United Nations resolution.
Sir, specifically,
The different summit that happened. I mean, I, for one, and I believe I speak on behalf of many, I mean, why would the European leaders, whether they came from France, England, from Spain, Italy, from Czechoslovakia, or from wherever they came from, why would they wait until 1,300 people are killed? Why would they allow themselves to continue to witness the killing of children and women, rather than come the second time of the day when the war began on the 27th of December 2008? It's heartbreaking. I, as a human being, not only as a Christian, but as a human being, having seen the number of children killed, and I have four grandchildren, I honestly tried to cry, but I could not. I was so angry, as it were, so angry that the world continued to be completely indifferent. And it reminded me, and I have written to friends here and there, it reminded me of the day even when Jesus Christ was crucified, that some people came from Galilee and they stood afar watching. How long will the international community continue to stand afar and continue to watch people being oppressed, people being humiliated, people being killed, people being occupied? We need to find a way out of this mess before I fear that we'll
be... Sir, for the listeners, we're talking to the main Anglican bishop in Jerusalem, for the Anglican Church there, and Bishop Riya Abu El Asal. In the time we have in this segment and the next, specifically for those that don't know, Jews, Arabs, Palestinians, and Christians did live in peace together for hundreds and hundreds of years, if not thousands. What changed in the 1940s? What changed in 1947? Because I don't think the people understand that now the Palestinians have been driven, millions of them, almost 4 million, into two tiny areas and are under siege, and that Israel broke the ceasefire by bombing and killing people and by cutting off the entrances into Israel and other areas that were part of the agreement. I'm certainly not defending things that Hamas is doing with these rockets, but the point is, what are they supposed to do in the face of being under total siege? So can you briefly speak to the history of what's been happening there in Israel and why things changed?
Arabs and Jews have lived for centuries side by side, and they have lived in peace and in harmony. Christians, Muslims, and Jews have lived in the land people call the Holy Land, to which I refer as the land of the Holy One, side by side for 1,400 years. Some people, in fact, people of the church, of the Anglican Church in the UK, in the 19th century, started speaking of the end of times and of eschatology, and that we are drawing nigh to the end of times, and that the Jews will come back to the so-called promised land. And they started speaking of Palestine as a land without people. Why not give it to a people without a land? Then came the First World War and the Balfour Declaration in 1923, which promised the Jewish community a state or a home in Palestine. And after which, the First World War, during the Second World War, the Jewish community suffered at the hands of the Nazis, not at the hands of the Arabs, not at the hands of the Arab Christians, not at the hands of the Muslim, the Palestinians, or the Muslim Arabs in the Middle East. They suffered at the hands of the Europeans, especially the Nazis. And a number of them have been killed, but some of them managed to survive and escape, and they found refuge in what was mandated Palestine. They were welcomed by our people until the day when they started talking about wanting a state of their own. Rather than continue to live side by side. They raised the issue of a Jewish state in Palestine. The United Nations sent a commission, and that commission partitioned the land on the 29th of November, 1947. In my opinion, that was the first separation wall that the international community built between the Arabs and the Jews, between the Palestinians and the Israelis, between the Jews and the Muslims, between the Jews and the Christians. The partition plan gave the Jewish community, which was a minority of some 600,000 people who arrived from Europe, especially from East Europe, they gave them 52% of the territory of Palestine and 48% to 1.2 million Palestinians. The Palestinians, of all the those engaged in the negotiation, resorted to the wisdom of Solomon, the two women who claimed the same baby. The real mom said, I will not allow you to cut the baby into two. Whereas the other woman said, never mind, cut him. And Solomon, who happened to be a Jew, woke up to the reality that that was the real mama, and he gave the child to the real mom without partitioning, God forbid, the baby.
Bishop, stay there. We've got to break. We're going to come right back to you after this quick break and continue with the real history of what happened there. PrisonPlanet.com. All right, our guest has agreed to stay with us 5 minutes into the next hour, and then we immediately start going live at PrisonPlanet.tv, simulcasting the radio show via PrisonPlanet.tv for all the members over there. We will go directly to all of your phone calls that are patiently holding. Mark in Oregon, Rachel, Mr. X, Stan, Mordecai in Israel, and many others that are patiently holding. Okay, you know, the issue here, and we're talking to the Anglican Bishop of Jerusalem, a very important position for Christians over there, especially Christian Palestinians, Ria Hanna Abu El Asal, the bishop. We're going over what really happened over there. And, of course, the people in Israel, they staged terror attacks. They killed people en masse. They started the bombings of hotels and marketplaces, the machine gunning of the Palestinians, Christians, and others to drive them out. It's just amazing that all of this went on, and this is just the facts. And then I watch the news, and they say, there's no such thing as a Palestinian. The Arabs were there trying to steal the land, and Israel's fighting them off. And then Israel admits in their papers that they stage terror attacks sometimes as a pretext to kill peace processes, and that Israel has admitted in their newspapers that they want to drive the Palestinians out of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, the close to 4 million people that are there. If you want to be technical, 3.5 million. And this is what is ongoing and happening. And then the public just isn't aware of this. Sir, please continue. You'd gotten up to the analogy of Solomon.
Yeah, the partition plan was rejected by the Palestinian community. And the first round of hostilities began, the result of which either the expelling of the majority of the Palestinians or those who chose to leave, believing that they will leave for a few days, a week or two. They didn't carry with them anything, and they form now the bulk of the largest bulk of refugees in the Middle East. The number is close to 5 million Palestinians who continue to look to the day when they will be allowed to come back home. They're very much the same like any other refugee here or there in the world. There were a number of wars. 48, 56, 67. The Israelis managed to occupy the rest of Palestine, and then 73, and again we had of the peace treaty with Egypt, we had the peace treaty of Israel with Jordan, and certainly with the Palestinian Authority, the Oslo Accord. But the conflict continues on because the root cause has not been dealt with properly. Neither the peace treaty with Egypt nor the peace treaty with Jordan will bring peace and security for Israel. the only way forward is for Israel to sit down and settle, have a fair settlement, which is in accordance with the United Nations resolution, whereby the Palestinians will have their share of the land, live free in an independent Palestinian state, as I said, side by side. I have proposed in 84, when I was still a priest in Nazareth, I proposed that if the Palestinians are given the opportunity to have their independent state side by side with Israel, in my opinion, the day will come soon when there will be either a federation or confederation between the two states, which will serve as a blessing unto the nations of the Middle East, if not unto the whole world. And that's what I said to Tony Blair when I met with him before the war on Iraq on the 18th of February, when he tried to tell us that going to war against Iraq will pave the way for peace in the Middle East. I said, sir, the shortest way to Baghdad goes through Jerusalem.
Stay there. We've got to come back in 1 minute, sir, for the final segment.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Going live at PrisonPlanet.tv in T-minus 8 minutes. Your phone calls directly when we enter in to that segment. Got about 5 minutes left with the Bishop of Jerusalem, the Anglican Bishop. And, sir, I just have one question for you, but it's a complex issue, but I know you deal with it every day. You know, I am a Christian, and I love everybody, and I hate seeing everybody be played against each other just so arms dealers can continue their war over there. I know that the state over there is completely secular. The Zionist state does not allow Christians to proselytize over there. There's a lot of restrictions. It is an apartheid state in so many ways. But then American Christians, evangelicals, have been taught that they have to support Israel no matter what Israel does. And that anybody that isn't for the state of Israel, as it is now, is for the Antichrist. But my Bible, Revelations, Daniel, Ezekiel, it states that the Antichrist will show up and set up a state there and claim that he's Jesus. But then I see the Christian churches saying, we've got to have Israel be one group and we're going to have our leader appear there. That sounds like they're going to be rooting for the Antichrist. I mean, when God said, when Jesus said, no stone will be unturned, and Titus came and sacked Jerusalem 70 years later, and not one stone was, left standing on top of the other. And then Israel went into bondage for not accepting the Messiah. And I mean, that's the Christian view. Whether you're secular or not, that's the view. So then if it's an abomination then for anything before God returns to be set up in Israel. So, and this wasn't set up until 200 years ago when this was financed in the United States and England to put out this false message. And of course the Rothschilds financed it. In the 3 minutes we've got left, can you speak to that?
Yeah. In my opinion, those who continue to support Israel in its policy vis-a-vis the Arab Palestinians in particular and the Arab nation at large are causing greater harm to Jews and to the Jewish faith than what the others have done any harm to Israel or to Jews or to the Jewish faith. For people to continue to justify the killing because God ordered or God favored or God promised, in my opinion, is anything but Christian. I don't want to be very naughty and say that some Christians are Christless Christians. They care more about A rather than about B, whereas Jesus Christ said, go unto the whole world. Unto the whole world. The whole world is not only of the Jewish community. The whole world is made up of all sorts of people. And we are called to bring those people to faith in Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, and who taught us and ordered us and challenged us to reconcile those who are in conflict.
But Bishop, that's my point, is that you are aware, though, that a bastardization of Christianity is being used to make the new religion the worship of Israel, and that makes way for the Antichrist.
Yeah. But much harm has been done in the name of religion. Much harm. Much killing has been done in the name of religion. People have got sick of this kind of religion. And before I close, I want to take this opportunity to say that I hope that the future president of the United States, Barack Obama, will see to it that peace will come to Jerusalem on the basis of truth and justice. And I hope that tomorrow, whoever is going to lead the prayer will bring also in the prayer the pain and the suffering of the Palestinian people, especially in Gaza. The world must know the truth if we mean business with peace.
Yes,
many
Bishop,
people can,
Bishop we're out of time. Is there a website that you'd like to give out for more information?
Thank you. Certainly. It will be great to hear Barack Obama refer to the situation in the Middle East, especially to Gaza. And I hope that our dear listeners will do all they can to help our people in Gaza by supporting them in whatever way they're able to. Those victims of the war in Gaza are equal human beings.
They are equal human beings. Bishop Ellisall, thank you for joining us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv, simulcasting the radio show over the internet at PrisonPlanet.tv with a lot of live viewers. I want to say hi to them and all the radio listeners as well. And we're going to be taking your phone calls for the entirety of this hour, because if I get into any news, I will get sidetracked and won't take a lot of your phone calls. I'm going directly to your calls right now at 1-800-259-9231. Then after I do that, I'm going to break down the psychology of Barack Obama and the media literally saying he is the one, he is the savior, he will fix everything, so they can sell the public on signing on to that bandwagon to fully abolish the Bill of Rights and Constitution and bring in carbon taxes, youth brigades, all of it. And the new bank of the United States they're talking about setting up, there will be another private central bank, just incredible things all coming down at once right now. Normally we wouldn't see the amount of changes for the worse towards the world government in 10 years that we're seeing in a week or two. Everything is accelerated right now. Everything is hyper. It's a quickening at every level. So I'm going to be going over that and a lot of other financial news. Also, A&E has a new drama TV show where 9/11 truthers are terrorists who want to kill U.S. troops. And they're also marijuana heads. So the message is, if you smoke marijuana, you're a terrorist. If you're 9/11 truther, you're a terrorist. I want to go over that and play a video clip from that as well. And that ties into the Violent Radicalization Act that we see being implemented, where they're saying that they're going to go after you if you stand up and speak out and expose what they're doing. So asinine to claim that 9/11 truth that exposes government-sponsored terror would be staging terror. There's no evidence of that, but we saw this talking point start about 2 years ago. Then we saw a small flashbang-type bombing that busted a window at the Joint Armed Forces recruiting station in Times Square. Then mainstream news simultaneously with no evidence said it's probably a 9/11 truther. We then saw Bill O'Reilly. We saw Glenn Beck. We saw all the major channels in unison say 9/11 truthers need to be arrested and, quote, tortured and taken to Guantanamo Bay and tasered. Now, that is in my film, by the way, Truth Rising. We show that. That's why that's and then New York police come up and say your cameras are guns and your backpack is a bomb. And they say, we know it's not a gun. We know it's not a bomb. We're going to frame you on camera. I mean, that is corruption when on camera they do this. So they wouldn't be doing that if 9/11 truth wasn't such a threat and such a danger to them. So all of you out there, the millions of you spreading the word, I commend you. So that is coming up later in the show. Also, I want to get more into all over the United States, England, and Europe. The government is kicking old people out of their houses, and the very bureaucrats that kick them out of their houses and make them go to nursing homes or send them to the euthanasia centers, the government hospice facilities, I'm not saying all hospice, but the main ones are eugenics and are euthanizing people with morphine, basically, and not feeding them And the Wall Street Journal's even covered that. This is out of the Globe and Mail. Council official evicted elderly tenants from bungalows, then moved herself in. Then it goes on to say a bunch of them are doing this. This is the type of stuff that we're dealing with here. This disgusting piece of human detritus right here on PrisonPlanet.tv. We're showing you a photo of her on the front page of the newspaper there. Also, gender-bending chemicals in our rivers grow more potent. This is a real environmental crisis, but Barack Obama isn't going to do anything about that. They're not going to do anything about that in England either. This is, again, about taxing the carbon cycle of life itself to regulate all human activity to micromanage our lives. So I'm going to go ahead now, and I am going to go to your phone calls. Oh, I just got hot news in from Kurt Nemo. This is absolutely incredible. Barack Obama has told you he's going to do a lot of things that are unpopular as soon as he gets in the first 100 days. Tarpley was right 6 months ago that it was going to be, even before he got elected, a blitzkrieg when he first came in. That's why the media is hyping him up, building him up as the savior now, so that everybody will sign on and go along with it. Oh, my gosh. Kurt Nemo's got a story here. House considers repealing 22nd Amendment at Obama's request, and that would allow, of course, a foreigner to be president, and so many other things. So we're going to be going over all of that today. And there's a bunch of new anti-Second Amendment bills being introduced in the House. I mean, they're coming, folks. It's on. It's on. Barack Obama, when he was a state senator and a federal senator, called for total gun bans and even wrote the bills with hand notes on them and has said he believes it's reasonable what Chicago and D.C. have, which is a total gun ban of the people, a monopoly of force by the state. So, I mean, I'm being hit from all sides here. So much is happening. Let's go to your phone calls as promised here. Let me pull up my caller screen here. Let's go ahead and go back, because he was waiting last hour and he had a question. I had to cut him off because the guest came up. Joe in the UK, then Mordecai, Mark, Mr. X, Stan, and others. Okay, Joe in the UK, go ahead and ask your question again.
Yeah, please. Basically, as I was saying, in view of the Illuminati and the New World Order, I believe their goal, ultimately, because the Illuminati, as I understand it, are based on satanic and occult rituals and part of that whole affair, is that I believe they're making preparations, as is most of the most Christian and Muslim religions, to await the Antichrist, and the seat's already been built. Now, as I read on the web, and in basically in Muslim religion, which are very similar in Revelation, it's called Qiyamah in the Quran, the Antichrist is called Dajjal, and ironically, in the Quran, it tells that he has one eye. That's why we see all these buildings with one eye, with the eye of Horus.
And that's why he was a had a degree in occult mythology. Was a top scholar. J.R.R. Tolkien, you know, the evil god they worship has the one single burning eye and lives at the top of a pyramid shaped mountain. Exactly, they throw these archetypal images in our face.
It appears, and I've only just got into this. It appears the occult get their strength through symbolism. Well, I mean, it seems to be everywhere when you really look at it. And
yes, they have a cover of Newsweek.
Ritual sacrifice.
They have a cover of Newsweek just covered with like subgenius type Illuminati symbolism about how Obama is the supreme leader being energized worldwide, and there's all this Kabbalic symbolism.
Yeah.
If you know about the Kabbalah, and I'm PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, I'm holding up the new Global Elite cover from Newsweek a few weeks ago. We're going to zoom in even more on all these occult symbols. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so basically, again, Islam and Christianity are very much similar in terms of Qiyamah and Revelation. What our Quran says is like we revere the Prophet Jesus because it's symbolic of the day of Did. He actually comes back. We call him Isa in the Quran, and he destroys the Antichrist. Now, what I believe is that basically the whole purpose of Illuminati and World Order for centuries has been planning to basically facilitate the return of the Antichrist. And the Quran says...
No, the United Nations admits that they are bringing in a world religious leader, and that if you don't, you can have whatever religion you want, but you've got to worship this one leader and his image, which is broadcast for the whole world to see, television, and if you don't, you are killed.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is there's method in their madness. Do you know what I mean? It's not just for the power for its own sake. And I believe all this is systematic from the First World War, Second World War. It's to create the state of Israel so they have the power over that. And you know, the Quran and the Bible both says the Antichrist will appear between Syria and Iraq, effectively Palestine. Yeah, so I believe this agenda, this occult satanic agenda, is, you know, is close to the end. The Quran says, you know, basically Istanbul will form Constantinople in 2015. Turkey joins NATO. Yeah. So,
sir, listen, I appreciate your call. Great points. I'm going to move on to other callers. Everybody has time, but I want to say this from a secular position. Every time I bring up Bohemian Grove, Skull and Bones, our supposed Christian conservative leaders involved in all these rituals, people say, oh, you're just a Christian. I don't believe in all that. Well, when the Hillside Strangler goes out and strangles women and carves a pentagram in his hand and says, you know, hail Satan, and, you know, makes the Diablo sign in court, that, you know, they don't say to the judge, let's let him go. We don't believe in Satanism. We say this guy's a psychopathic killer and he's a Satanist. But again, there's this disconnect with the yuppies and the humanist and the atheist. They say, well, I don't believe in all of that. Well, I mean, the world leaders do believe it. Even if you don't believe it, even if you think it's all made up, they believe they're creating this world Christ. They believe they're bringing in this world government with the computers, tracking everything you do and thumb scanning and face scanning and national ID cards to buy and sell. In fact, go to YouTube and Google Joe Biden talks about microchip in the body. And there he is a few years ago in testimony when they're interviewing Justice Alito. And they say, mark my words, you will rule on the implantable chip. And in Mexico, if you want to be part of the Attorney General's office, you have to take one. All over the world, special forces troops, including the U.S., many of them are being made to take the chip. If you want to have a job in the next 10 years in the military, they're saying you're going to have brain augmentation with a chip hooked into the AI system to be able to pilot the drones remotely. This is all being announced. This is happening. And so even if you say, well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, the elites, the esoteric people, they saw the Bible and they saw what John on the Isle of Patmos said and what Daniel said, and so they're creating it, they're making it. Well, regardless, it's being done. John actually found the audio of it. Will you IM that to the guys down here, to David down here, so that we can... In fact, they tell me they just simultaneously found it. Pull it up on screen for folks, and we're going to go ahead and play this clip and then go back to your phone calls. Well, we've got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to play the clip, and then we're going to continue with the phone calls for everybody that is patiently holding. So stay with us. I want to talk to Mordecai and Israel and others when we get back. But imagine, 10 years ago, I'd talk about the move to forcibly implant us with chips, with prisoners and Alzheimer's and babies and the rest of it. And then now, you know, I was called a kook. Now it's just mainstream. They're going, yeah, so what? You got to take a chip. That's how we fight Al-Qaeda. You prove you're safe. In fact, I have Andy Rooney saying you got to take a chip to prove you're safe on 60 Minutes.
There's a man going around taking names.
All right, we're back live.
And he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
Okay, let's go ahead.
When the man...
And go to this clip. This is Joe Biden, and then there's a bunch of C-SPAN angles of this. This is the one where it's on... Supreme Court Justice nominee at the time, Alito, and they are asking him, you know, you will rule, mark my words, on the implanted chip. This is your new vice president, sworn in tomorrow, there with 47,000, excuse me, I said 45,000 earlier, it's 47,000, more troops and police than are in all of Afghanistan right now, all to protect the emperor, to foster this image that he actually runs something or that he can save you. Talk about trying to get folks hyped up. Here's the clip.
Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over.
And so there is Joe Biden, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go ahead and go back to the calls. Let's talk to Mordecai in Israel. Mordecai, welcome.
Hi, Alex.
Yes, sir. Thanks for holding.
Thanks for having me, Alex. Actually, I wanted to talk about something altogether different, but I've been on the phone listening to the clips that you've been playing and your talk with Jerusalem. I want to tell you something about myself and where I'm coming from so you'll understand what it is that I want to say. I consider myself a brother truth activist. I wrote a report several years ago on the acquiescence of the Israeli government in Palestinian Authority first strike attacks on Jews, and I'm able to send you evidence of how that report actually prevented such an attack. Many of the things that were said in the clips that were played before, I don't agree with, and I don't want to go into specifics unless you request it, because it would just take too much time. I know you have many other callers, and maybe if there's another opportunity. The clip that you played from the English Jew, I agree with almost nothing that he said, except for one thing that I feel very strongly about, and that's where he mentioned the manipulation of by the Zionists of the fact of the Holocaust in order to manipulate Gentiles into guilt, into doing things for Israel. I'll go further than what he said and mention the very fact of the Zionist complicity and help in helping the Holocaust to happen.
Well, that's on record. And I mean, that's scholarly publications from universities
absolutely.
In the United States. In fact, they funded Hitler from the beginning and made deals to where Jews weren't allowed to go to England or New York in the United States. They were blocked by Roosevelt and others, and then he was praised by the Zionists. And then they had to pay bribes to the Zionists to even be able to go to Israel. And so that's just government again. That's just elites again feeding on their own people in the name of saving them.
It's absolutely it's a story of the elites. It's a story of
well, you're over in Israel. Why did Israel get those billions of dollars from the U.S. to irradiate 110,000 Sephardic Jews?
That's absolutely true, and that was the next point that I wanted to make. Is I wanted to praise you and thank you for bringing up the fact of the it's, I don't know if it can be called a genocide. Why did the United? We know why the United States gave the money. We know why Israel performed these experiments. The only thing is that people need to know that it's not just the Israelis against the Sephardic Jews. It's also the Israelis against the Ashkenazic Jews. It's the Israelis against all Jews. There are many, many people, and thinking has been so befuddled and clouded on all the issues. Like I say...
Yes, you have this Illuminati elite that sits above every group, playing us all off against each other.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. I wanted to say, Alex, you should know that my wife and I, on all of the issues, we agree. I never call talk radio. I don't know how many years, 25 years, of 30 years of political activism... your show is the only show that I will call, because you're the only one, even though I don't agree with everything you say, and I'll tell you why. It's because some of the information that you get is from these Israeli newspapers like Haaretz, and for you to read that newspaper, Haaretz, and think that you know something about me, a Jew living in Israel, would be akin to me reading something in the New York Times and thinking that I understand something about Alex Jones.
Why would Haaretz come out and admit that Israel stages terror attacks?
I'd have to see the specific article that you're referring to. I think that anything that Haaretz does is for their own self-serving New World Order.
Well, listen, call back on another day and we'll spend more time. Appreciate your call. Good to hear from you from Israel. More calls straight ahead. Stay with us. We will cover the ridiculous coronation of the new puppet-in-chief, Barack Hussein Obama, who the establishment is casting as the role of savior. If you just turn off your thinking cap, do everything he says, the youth brigades, the troops, the government jobs, the foreign banks openly subdividing all of our infrastructure, the NAFTA superhighways, they... will save you. I want to comment briefly on one thing Malachi was saying, and we're going to go back to Mark, Mr. X, Stan, Charles, and others quickly here. These callers all bring up such key issues, though. How do you not respond to them in some detail? And that issue is that everything is so nuanced and complex. You have to have the historical background, and you have to have the modern context, and then try to explain any of it is very hard to do because it oversimplifies. But when I get on air and I say, when you get to the highest levels of the New World Order, you find three things. You find Nazi occultist. You find Zionist occultist. And then you find a group even above that, kind of this Luciferian occult group. People make jokes out of that. Oh, the German death cult. Well, I mean, what is Skull and Bones? What is Bohemian Grove? What is the Israeli Supreme Court building? What are all these obelisks and all this occultism? I mean, we've gone over that. We know what it is. It is the Babylon Mystery School. I mean, I remember 10 years ago getting on air with guests and saying Madonna was doing Kabbalic rituals in front of everyone at her concerts. And for 5 years, she's been admitting it. 3 years or so. Why are they obsessed with symbols and numerology and all of this? And then I criticize Israel for sneak attacking the USS Liberty to try to sink it, to blame it on Egypt as a pretext to widen the war in 67, the Six-Day War, right out of Operation Northwoods. And then they're 100% culpable. But then I mentioned that the White House was involved, parked the ship there, wouldn't let the ship have aid, was clearly involved with Israel doing it. And people say, oh, you're defending Israel, saying the U.S. did it. That's a psych warfare operation, folks. That's mental illness. That's intellectual dishonesty. That'd be like if two guys rob a bank, and I say these two guys robbed a bank. One guy's black, one guy's white. You say, oh, look at you being a racist against blacks, or look at you being a racist against whites. You know, or you're saying the white guy's guilty and the black guy isn't guilty. No, I'm not. I just said two guys robbed a bank. But see how intellectually dishonest that is. Or then I make a film like Endgame, and I show 20 or 30, I don't know, 25 or so examples in the film, in just one little 20-minute segment, of eugenics, killing U.S. troops, our own government, nerve-gassing them in test, Israel being paid by the U.S. government to radiate and kill many of the 110,000 Sephardic Jewish children. People say, oh, look at you trying to make people feel sorry for Israel. That's not what I'm doing. I mean, I'm showing how evil the people are that run Israel, that they would do that to their own children. But I show how every government is doing that, because this is the religion of the New World Order, is killing and hurting innocents. These are sacrifices they're carrying out. Look at NASA, how they only launch on certain meridian lines and certain dates, and they admit it's all occultic with the trappings and the mission names, and it's all Masonic. Look at how the military symbols and the Congressional Medal of Honor is a pentagram. I mean, all of this, our society is inculcated with all of this. And so the caller calls in and he brings up the fact that the Zionists literally funded Hitler. Well, that's declassified. The Milner Group, Lord Milner with Rothschild funding, before Hitler was even on the scene, said we're going to build up Germany, put a demagogue in, have him wreck Europe, then we'll go in and save the day and set up the world government. Out of that, they got the United Nations. They create the crises, offer the solution. So it's not defending Israel to point out that Israel worked with Hitler. And that's on record. It's stating the facts and saying, well, what do we make of this? What do we do with this information? You know, who is the real group in control? What is going on here? And at the end of the day, the issue is, I don't hate Jews. And I don't hate Palestinians. And I don't hate black people. And I don't hate Arabs, and I don't hate Chinese, and I don't hate Russians. I don't like the evil Russian leadership over the last 100 years, 90-something years, funded by the globalists, the bankers. I don't like the Hitlerian system. I don't like what our government's doing. It's an illegitimate government. I'm saying there's evil people team up together to take over governments, and they always use tribalism and religion to manipulate their own subgroup who will fight and die for them, whether it's Arabs or Jews or Israelis or anybody, when in the end, the greatest abuses are meted out. I mean, Hitler at the end of the war said, I hate the German people and they deserve to die and they're not good and I'm glad they're dying. And go ahead and, when he's in the bunker, flood the underground subway system, you know, flood the underground tunnels that everybody's in, kill them all, they deserve to die. I mean, that's what I'm saying. This is sophisticated. This is nuanced. It is an indictment of the Zionist regime in Israel to come out and show how they kill their own people and to come out and show how they worked with Hitler and wouldn't let Jews flee other parts of the world, or how on record how the Zionists would bomb Jews in Spain and in Iraq and in Iran and drive them out of places they've been for thousands of years to make them come to Israel. Why is that? Why do they want them all there? It's so they can be killed. It's so they can be played off as genocidal pawns against their neighbors. And that's what Albert Pike wrote about in 1879. The three world wars they would engineer, everything they would do. And it's happening. And so, see, if we as a people, Muslims, Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, whatever, liberals, conservatives, old, young, black, white, doesn't matter, say we don't want foreign banks seizing our roads and jacking up the prices and raping us when they engineered the financial crisis to begin with. They engineer it, they get the bailouts, and we got to pay interest on the money we give them. Somebody goes, oh, you just like the Jews. I'm like, what does it have to do with the issue of no to the North American superhighways, no to foreigners seizing up all our infrastructure and national parks, no to the animal ID, the premises ID, no to all this regulation and control and CPS grabbing over a million children a year and the phony drug war? Ah, shut up, your government disinfo. No, government disinfo gets us to all fight with each other and argue over this or that or this, instead of let's say no to world government, let's say no to centralization. Let's say no to everything the global engineers are for. They're for collectivism. They're for open borders. They're for surveillance. They're for regulation. They're for centralization. They're for regionalization. They're for the FEMA 10 regions. They're for the CPS. They're for getting everybody institutionalized. They're for drugging the population with Ritalin and Prozac. Now over 100 million prescriptions a year for Prozac alone in the U.S. They are for drugging us to control us. They want to break up our families. They state in their own policy reports. We've shown you and covered here. That's the issue. We're against the policies. We're against the ideas. We're against these wars. We're against gun control, victim disarmament. I am against everything the New World Order is for, which is all against the Bill of Rights and Constitution. I'm for the Bill of Rights and Constitution. They're against it. Therefore, I'm against them on all issues. And they want to sidetrack you from waking people up about government-sponsored terror and waking people up about GMO foods and how deadly they are and waking people up about the fact there's no law, you got to take vaccines, or the media saying homeschooling's illegal when there's millions of homeschoolers and it's not illegal. All these hoaxes they run. Instead of us coming together on real concrete things that we, in every poll, 90, 95, 99% of people don't want the North American Union. So we should come together and say no. 98% of Texans don't want the Trans-Texas NAFTA highway. So they claim they're getting rid of it, but then they say, oh, we're actually breaking it up into multi-parts. So we come back and we fight them on that deception. We sue them. We remove them. We expose them. We remove them from office. We know the electronic voting machines are fraud-ridden and stealing elections, so we expose those. We have a petition signed for a paper ballot vote to remove them. We get aggressive. We go out and we say no to the Patriot Act, no to the police state, no to secret arrest. We point out how the public's being conditioned to accept troops on the streets of America. Another example of this groupism and how they use tribalism, balkanization to divide and conquer us is Obama. All over InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, on the comments under the stories, people come in, and most of them are probably shills, and they'll say, you just don't like Obama because you don't like black people. No, I'm against forced conscription and a new national draft for the military, 18 to 24, on record, on the Obama website, and from his chief of staff. No, I am against open borders. Because the globalists are for it. And then we can go through the reasons. Deindustrialization, bankrupting the states, welfare systems and medical systems so the feds have to come in. Again, they wreck everything so they can then come in as the saviors. That's the system they use over and over again. It's just so utterly mindless what's going on. You know, all the liberals want to prove that they like black people and aren't racist because they have all this guilt the media's taught them. And so then they all pile on and go, I don't care what Obama says or does. I love him because I've proven I voted for him and I'm proven that I'm not racist. And then black folks are like, man, he's a brother from another mother. And you know, this is such a great thing. And it gives us this pride. And there's that real pride there. And you wish it could be something good, but it's a lie and a fraud. The first thing he says he's going to do is double the funding for forced abortions in China. And that's not Alex Jones. The Huffington Post, of all places, came out with an article 2 weeks ago and admitted eugenics and admitted the UN's doing. And meanwhile, Pat Robertson saying China's forced abortions and infanticide is what they've got to do. And then you got the liberals over here saying it's bad. I mean, I'm now anti-black because I don't want people being sterilized or forced abortions in Africa. Or I'm anti-Chinese because I don't want dead Chinese babies. How does that work? See, but it's all like, hey, I'm black. He says, look, I'm black. The media says, look, he's black. It's change. There's no change. You know, a black cop can beat you down, whether you're black or white, and take you to a prison cell and claim you attacked him and set you up if it wasn't on camera. Just as much as a white cop can shoot a black guy right in the back and then hope nobody got video of it and confiscate the video and try to lie about it, and then he got caught. Tyranny can come on under any skin color. And let me tell you something, folks. It's coming under Barack Obama. All right, let's accelerate through your calls. Mark in Oregon, you're on the air.
Alex. Good
yes,
morning,
sir.
Alex. And welcome back, and it's great to have you back.
Thank you, sir.
Alex, I hope you had a great vacation. You sound like you have as much energy or more than you've ever had, if that's possible.
It rested great. My voice.
I think it rejuvenated you maybe a little bit, you know, from all this hard work you've been doing for the last 13 years or so. Actually, Alex, I wanted to make a quick comment just on what the British gentleman had mentioned in his call, and then I had two quick pieces of factual information to pass on to you. The British gentleman was talking about the whole goal, if I understood him correctly, of the Illuminati agenda in its current last stage of its known agenda, as most all of us, even lower-level Illuminists, are aware of, to bring the world into this consolidated one-world government, is actually the same as saying they're bringing in the rule of the Antichrist, as far as their view of it goes.
Why do you say us low-level Illuminists?
Well, I think their lower-level workers aren't privy to actually...
But why did you say... you said as if we were their workers.
Oh, no. I didn't mean that.
Well, no, actually, they consider... When you talk to Illuminists, they consider those of us that are awake as on the light side of the Illuminists. See, that's how they claim they control all. And it's balance between light and dark. It was funny you said that. You know, I say no to that title, but you know they say, don't you know you're part of the Illuminati too? You're just on a different path. And then they believe in all this weird balance. You know, they kill a million kids, it's beautiful. If they
save a million kids,
it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They claim that anybody that's actually aware and knows what's going on in the universe and who wants to know and who is into knowledge, which they say is the real wealth, they claim that you're an Illuminist.
Well, I wouldn't consider myself to be an Illuminist unless I believed on Lucifer as Almighty God of creation.
Exactly.
Like they do.
Pull up that Mason. I want to play that video on screen. Mason says he loves Lucifer. Pull that up on YouTube. We're going to play that. Go ahead.
But it certainly does give, I think, a very accurate picture of what the end or the goal of the end game stage here is, and that is to bring in the Antichrist, to put it in the most succinct word formation possible.
And any way you cut it, even if you're an atheist, it doesn't matter. The world leaders believe in the Kabbalah, the Babylon mystery religions, the occult, Luciferianism. That's their main religion. It's on record. They're on record. And then they are manifesting it. So even if you don't believe it's really real, they are manifesting it and making it real through their actions. I appreciate your call. Mr. X in Texas, thanks for holding.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Right. If I could just have a couple minutes of your time. Thank you for having me. I know I sound young. I'm 26. I'm risking my life coming forward. I was given the CIA operative codename Mastermind in August of 06. The same Mastermind Bush got on the air and said foiled a supposed terror plot on Dallas, which is a complete lie and a farce. I am a psychic. I did not know I was a psychic until they began spying on me and following me. And really,
let me say this, sir. Send me your story in an email. A lot of folks that think this has happened have a chemical imbalance. And a lot of that's been artificially done. The public through TV, the culture is under mind control itself. But normally these grandiose things where one person is, you know, doing all this incredible stuff is a manifestation of the sick society itself. Okay, Stan in Missouri, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex.
Hey.
I guess you probably heard that they're talking about bringing back the banning the old cars off the road at 10 years old or older. A friend of mine heard about this on CNN.
Yep. And everything. Look, they're going to tax cows, sheep, your farms, your house, putting in new windows. Everything you do is going to be micromanaged. Everything you do is going to be controlled.
Yes. A friend of mine told a couple of females about this, and one of them lives in Versailles, she lives in Coal Camp, Missouri, and works at Walmart. She said, well, they go take my old 89 car, they're going to have to kill me. Well, millions and millions of people, Alex, as you well know, own older model cars.
And the cops are going to harass you.
Yes, we know what's going to happen when you go down there to register your car. Say, sorry, sir, we can't give you no license. But I tell you,
and they'll tell you, they'll tell you. Hey, Stan, hold on just a second. They'll tell you it's a privilege to drive that car when it's not, but go ahead.
Yep, this girl's living in denial. All her main concern is just going out here and buying her high-definition TV and buying Walker Texas Rangers. She'd had high hopes for her teenage daughter to go to a university in Kansas City. Well, she met up with a shiftless guy, got pregnant, living in a trailer with no running water or anything like that. Now she's moving her daughter and her shiftless boyfriend right into her own home.
Well, Obama's going to save us. Farmer Stan, longtime caller for more than 10 years. Stay there. We're going to come right back to you after this break. Stan and more of your calls here in just a moment. I'm going to do a big analysis breakdown on Obama, where we're going, what this big distraction means, the big coronation tomorrow. Before I do that, here is a Mason. He's got his Shriner's hat, and he's saying, I'm Lucifer. I'm beautiful, I'm virtuous, I'm good, and that Lucifer's God. Because they teach at the higher levels that Lucifer and Jesus are one and the same. And low-level Masons who aren't ready for this to be revealed, they're like, oh, no, no, no. But after decades in there, then they're ready to have it revealed. That's when it's revealed to them. So folks will say, oh, this guy's just joking. No, it's in the main Masonic books. Manly P. Hall, Albert Pike, all of them. And people who are Masons don't know this. Just go buy your own books. I mean, go read it. I'm sure that they're at the lodge for you. And but here he is. Here's the video for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, for everybody else on the radio. Here is the audio.
Lucifer, what is your problem?
Just that, sir.
Okay.
I'm a Christian, sir.
I'm pure and virtuous and wholesome and innocent. How can you say anything bad about me?
Sir, you need to be born again.
I am born again.
Now, did you just say that you are Lucifer?
I am Lucifer.
Okay, define Lucifer for me.
Pure, virtuous, wholesome, innocent individual that's out to help people.
Lucifer is?
Yeah.
Say that again. Lucifer is a pure, holy...
Virtuous.
Now, is he the Lucifer that God created?
That's the same one.
Oh, man, this is great. I'm going to put this on the internet.
Oh,
amen.
God bless you,
amen.
Brother.
Because that's exactly what the Shriners and Masons teach, is that Lucifer is light.
No.
And you're, hey,
what
you're
about
confirming
those hospitals?
It. Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do these good deeds in your name? And you'll say, away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Jesus said it?
In Matthew chapter 5.
Mercy.
No.
That's hard to believe.
So you're a Christian and you don't know that. Actually.
No, I really am.
You are.
Because I'm pure and virtuous.
You're pure and virtuous, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're perfect without Jesus, right?
No.
Okay, tell me about Jesus. Who is Jesus?
He's my leader.
Is he the Son of God?
Yes, he is.
Is he the only worshipful master?
Yes.
Have you ever been called worshipful master?
No, because I've just been too busy. I've been working.
Working?
Been working to help people.
What
like
kind
you.
Of work? Okay.
Get out of here.
See, this is what a Mason confesses, is that Lucifer is light. Well, you heard it?
Okay, back to Farmer Stan. You know, not just restricting and taxing and shutting down the automobiles, but taxes on beef. Not just a tax on having a cow and then selling it, taxes when you eat beef, because that's a high carbon footprint item. A lot of carbon went into feeding that cow, and then its flatulence, the methane and the carbon dioxide it exhales, is a toxic waste. This is a literal tax on the carbon cycle. In fact, guys, Google carbon cycle for me and pull up an encyclopedia. I want to show people the carbon cycle of life. We're carbon-based life forms. It's a tax on breathing, a tax on life. And yes, all of this is happening. Just banks taking over everything, grabbing everything, no jobs, government, you'll all be on government welfare basically by the time they're done with it. I mean, it's just hellish. It's just hellish what they're setting up. Go ahead, Farmer Stan.
That's exactly right, Alex. They want to do away with crop insurance now. Department of Conservation, they want to do away with coming out and building a pond for you free. We've got a high level of crime going down here in Pettis County, Sedalia, Missouri. 15 businesses got broke into last week. And you're wanting to put the 20,000 troops out on the streets. You say people are living in denial with that. People, they think your show has become nothing more than entertainment, Alex. They think it's a soap opera.
Well, I wish it was a soap opera. It's real as it gets. Stay with us. Back in 70 seconds. Here we are, already into hour number four. Bated breath. By this time tomorrow, our new leader will have been sworn in for hours. The new coronation of the Savior. All our problems will be solved. Unless people in the public don't get behind the president. We are all one. Earlier you showed a photo from out there where it says, we are all one with Obama. And all the pundits are saying, Obama can save the economy. When I was on vacation last week, I watched more Fox and CNN and MSNBC than I normally do at night. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was such classical, overblown, cartoon-level propaganda. And it was just both parties, you know, all these pundits going, well, Obama's got a plan. He's got experts that can fix it. But, you know, he'll give us a great economy. Everything will be fine. If the people will join him and work with him and do what he says. And then I'd turn to the next channel. It'd be the same thing. Obama, he can do it. He can. I mean, normally the media acts like the two parties are fighting and one party's got the answers and the other doesn't. And, you know, the government's not good, but the media will help you know what to do. And the government just stupid and makes a lot of mistakes. Now it's just he is perfect. So what if his new Treasury Secretary doesn't pay taxes? So what if most of Congress doesn't? That's only for us. We must do whatever they say. We must follow everything they say. We've got to get behind them. And the approval rating just goes up and up. It's just, I was for McCain, but now I like him. I am under your control. Obama. Obama. It's like body snatchers or something. And, as the economy gets worse and worse, they'll say, gotta do what he says. Oh, they need another banker bailout for the subprime mortgages. Oh, we didn't spend the money on the last one. We need another one. We need unlimited power. We've gotta do whatever he says. Whatever he says. And if we just do it, it'll be all right. I mean, this is sick. And I just hate constant news with reporters going, this is wonderful. Oh my God, it's so great here in D.C. Cut to the next channel. Oh my gosh, it's so wonderful. Just smiling people. The reporters are all, oh, it's like heaven here. Look at this crowd. The crowd's like, and the crowd just like going, oh my God. Oh, I love everything. Oh my. I mean, you look at their eyes. We can show you video. I mean, you've seen them. They're on the news and the eyes are all the same. It's just like, and you'll see men and women just going, you know, like one face will be gone. And then you look to the next person, they're going. And you'll see the crowd. I mean, everybody's going. I mean, it's just everybody is just, oh, smiling radiantly and then having quiet moments of reflection about how, and then person after person they cut to from the night he won and had the victory speech out there, it was women and men going, oh, my problems are solved, my bills, my children's future, my health care. It's incredible. Everything is fixed. Oh, Obama. Oh, Mom. Oh, God, I love him. But the military's here. They're saving us. Oh, God, I love it. Meanwhile, all the shops are shutting down, economy's folding, everything's getting seized by foreign banks, everything's shutting down, the bankers are stealing trillions a week, is stealing everything. And then the publisher's like, oh my God, it's so wonderful, oh my God, I love it, oh Bob, I mean, I'm not kidding, I'm like, what, I'm in a Twilight Zone episode. I mean, this guy is bringing in the most hardcore IMF and World Bankers, just to fill his administration. This guy right here, Timothy Geithner. And it's like, well, he didn't pay his taxes. He doesn't. So what? And the Congress doesn't pay him. Over 65% of the Congress doesn't pay taxes. They just say, I don't care if it's a law. Because this guy used to be involved with the IMF and World Bank. Of course he doesn't pay taxes to himself. That's where you write your checks to the Federal Reserve, the Regional Bank of International Settlements. You pay your taxes to him. And then he takes it and buys the military and the media and then charges you interest on the money you've got to pay taxes on. Look at him. It's funny. Look how he's predatory. Look how he's into being hardcore and savage. He's take your cancer shots. Let the CPS take your children. Let us engineer you. We know what's best. We're the super class. We're in control. And the public's like, yes, oh, Obama. And people just going, oh, I'm just savoring this moment. For weeks, just dancing. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Everything's so good.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Up on screen at PrisonPlanet.tv, I have the carbon cycle. There it is, the carbon cycle. And they've even, this is one of the new propaganda ones where they even have the fossil fuel production from factories and cars, which according to the United Nations is a tiny fraction, less than 0.5%. And I mean, that's their own numbers. Has nothing to do with anything. The ocean is billions of times every year. They've done the calculations on this of all human activity. One big volcano is more, one gaseous explosion from a volcano puts out more CO2, take the case of Mount St. Helens, than all of human activity in the previous 100 years to that, conservatively. And what makes the grass grow? CO2, literally. What makes the plankton have a great day in the ocean so the little fishies, so the krill can eat it, and the little fishies can eat the krill, the little shrimps. But now the shrimps are with Al-Qaeda. The global government is doing nothing about all the true environmental crises. I'm going to cover this later. But they are doing something about the carbon cycle. They are taxing the entire carbon cycle. If it, bring me back up to a close-up of that so I can show the viewers here and then talk about it for the radio audience. You see, you have water vapor in the atmosphere, which is composed of predominantly CO2. And it's one of the dominant majority gases in the atmosphere. And then it condenses into water vapor and rains back down into the ocean. Right here. Oh, my God, it's going to kill the Earth. But Obama will save us. And then it goes back up in condensation and forms clouds again and continues. But the trees, look, the trees, evil trees. That's why a lot of the cultists that have bought into this and really believe that carbon's deadly, they're saying cut down all the trees. Don't believe me, just Google mainstream news. Climate change crowd wants to cut down trees. But let's continue with the other evil things. They've got cows, as if there haven't always been bovine and other forms of mammals and other creatures on the land that are eating, and iguanas and every other creature puts off methane. Oh, they list those evil cows. The very life cycle of the Earth being listed as toxic, deadly waste. Meanwhile, genetic engineering, gender-bending chemicals being dumped into the rivers and lakes and oceans, causing all sorts of deformities, humans having all sorts of problems from this. None of that's being stopped. In fact, that's being turned loose completely. See, because the corporations can't just have a phony environmental movement to tax and regulate and run your life. They've got to do more. They need to use this as a distraction to all the real environmental crises and issues we have to deal with. They have to pick an issue that can be selectively enforced against the population and selectively enforced against companies, smaller companies, that the establishment wants to run out of business. This is a total straitjacket on the planet, the carbon cycle. Taxing the carbon cycle. The Earth's 76% water, 75% salt, 1% fresh. That's really an old bad number. It's because there's so much fresh water in the aquifers. It's really more like 4%. So we're talking getting up close to 80% water. But technically, it's under the surface. Here it all is. And so they can ban and regulate and tax and control and have bureaucrats overseeing everything you do, because everything on this planet that's natural is carbon-based. And CO2 is not a toxic waste, because let me show you these little evil things called trees right here. These little green things there on your screen, those put off more carbon than all our cars and all our buses and all our factories could ever do. Now, the United Nations itself claims that the increase in temperature that we saw in the last decade, that 6% of that was attributed to less than 0.5%, and some estimates are even lower, from human CO2 and other greenhouse gases. So there you have it. They're basically terraforming the Earth in the opposite direction. Meanwhile, there's thousands of aircraft spraying chemtrails, manipulating the weather everywhere, and devastating the atmosphere. And the military detonated hundreds of nuclear weapons in the high atmosphere, blowing holes in the ozone layer. But then they're using DU all over the planet. But that's not an issue. Detectors in England and the United States, every time they use DU, picking up the DU in the atmosphere. Because let me show you the planet. Punch up the planet for me. Planet Earth. And we're going to your calls. Punch up the planet for me. Well, hell, it's right here on the screen. Here, just cut to this. Let me show people something. Right here. Here, I'll just pick the microphone up and come over here. You see this? This is the globe, okay? I'm going to come over here and I'm going to show you. The jet stream goes this way. Jet stream goes that way. And the jet stream actually dips in at one of the lowest points from, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 feet where it varies. It dips down right over New Mexico, Texas, and Louisiana. That's its main dip point. You can go online and watch the satellites with the infrared of the jet stream. And it comes in right across southern North America, and it comes right in at New Mexico, Texas, and it dumps in. Now, you know why that's a problem? You know why it's a problem? Because most of the detritus and the really dirty factories and the chemicals and the trash burning in China and in India, where there's almost 2.5 billion people. No, it's more than 2.5 billion. It'd be 2,700,000,000, excuse me, in China and India. That all blows across the jet stream. In fact, can you guys back that video up on screen? I can show people for them right behind me. So there you have the Earth. Yes, that's good. This is a view of North America. No, that's a view of Africa. So I need a shot of the planet from the other side. Of course, people will probably say it's a conspiracy theory and the planet doesn't exist next. But the point is here's the globe. Now look, you've got the jet stream going this way. It's going around the planet. And they seem to be focusing on the jet stream a lot with the chemtrail spraying, but regardless of that, you've got China and India, and then you've also got the Middle East, Iraq, Serbia, and Central Asia, Afghanistan, where tens of thousands of tons of DU have been dropped and are dispersed into the atmosphere. That's why a lot of times you'll see orange dust on your car, and it'll be on the news that blew in from Mongolia, China. So back it up again. I'm going to show people viewing. Oh, yeah. Here's a good shot of the United States. Cut to this one. So the jet stream is blowing this way. Okay, and it goes around the world to China and comes back. Around the Middle East, China, and it comes back. And it dumps right here. So it's going around. All on the other side of Asia and Europe and the rest of it. And it comes around and it dumps most of its detritus on New Mexico, Texas, and Louisiana. In fact, Google live satellite imaging, live satellite of Jetstream. And we will show them a 24-hour rendering of the satellite the last 24 hours. Now, I checked this last week, about a week and a half ago, and it was all of it was dumping into Texas at the time. But it varies. It varies in its dumping. And it dumps a little other places, too. But we get the full helping of the DU right here. Now, that's a satellite shot of North America. Okay, that is a Jetstream shot of a limited air. That's the Canadian Jetstream. There's several Jetstreams, but the main one of the main Jetstreams. Show me another Jetstream here. I'll probably get emails saying there's no such thing as a Jetstream. But the point is, I'm not kidding. They say there's no North American Union. They say there's no Trans-Texas Corridor. No, it doesn't matter. I'll find it during a break. You know what? Just Google Jetstream. It doesn't matter. And I could show you how it's all dumping on you, but none of that is a real issue. We just need to tax the carbon footprint. Let's go back to the calls. Who's up next here? Charles in Florida, then Matt, Ron, Ronnie, and others. Go ahead, Charles.
Alex?
Yes, Charles.
Hey, how you doing, man? What's up, man? Before I say anything else, I just want to tell you, I'm an African-American listener, so you do have African-American listeners, if you didn't know.
Already. Oh, I know. I've got a lot of great folks listening.
Yeah, I just want to say about my people in this whole Obama crap, and most black people, the majority of us, they can't, and they just don't want to believe that, you know, Obama's not the Messiah. And, like, they don't want to, excuse me, they don't want to do anything, like, they wouldn't do anything the news wouldn't say. And, for example,
it's just like Bush supporters. Once they signed on to Bush, didn't matter if he tortured, secret arrest, destroyed the Bill of Rights, tripled the size of the BATF, it was, you know what, I'm sticking behind the commander-in-chief. And it's going to be the same thing with Obama, but with the media just cult-like saying, he's the answer, he's the answer. I mean, 10 times worse, so people go, I just can't say I've been conned. I just love you.
Yeah, for example, like my own mother, my own mom, like she doesn't believe me about anything I tell you. I mean, tell her from like what you say, or like I give her articles after article after article, and like she doesn't want to read it. Or I told her like in early August, because you had an article, I believe, like they said it really conned me. Yeah, listed all the stores that were closing. She didn't want to look at it. And I said, Mom, we need to start, you know, buying food and start saving our money. And, you know, we need to get gold and silver. And I was adamant about getting gold and silver.
But see, in the end, your mother is going to say Obama's good because they're going to wreck the economy to force us onto the government dole. Yeah, and then they'll still be the savior. See how they wreck things on purpose?
Yeah, and I was telling my mother, like, we need to get gold and silver. She was like, well, my financial advisor didn't say that. Oprah didn't say that. The View didn't say that. And you know, our pastor didn't say that. So I just can't believe you. You know, you're not a professional.
Well, The View and all these other shows, they didn't tell you to buy gold 5 years ago when it was $300 an ounce. It's now $850.
Yeah, I know. I was like, it's so frustrating. I was like, I don't know why you're doing this. Mom was like,
well, stay there. Let's talk more about it when we get back. And then I'm going to get into a bunch of news on Obama and the coronation tomorrow. Man, this show today is just blasting past us. And I do want to go over the fact that they're demonizing 9/11 truth on television, saying we're terrorists. It's a new development in a string of activities they've been engaged in. I do want to break down, and I'll do it more tomorrow, what Obama's really doing, and the distractions within the diversions, the wheels within wheels. But up on screen, we did find the last 7-day animation of the jet stream. And I told you it dumps normally over New Mexico, Texas, and Louisiana. It's moved a bit east there, a couple hundred miles. But you can read the different graphs of the height of the jet stream, where it tends to come in and dump its particula. And there you have it, the jet stream coming in from the west to east, and right there on the screen, dumping over New Mexico, dumping over Texas, and then rising back up in the atmosphere over the east. So you see it dumping right there over the state of Texas. All that nice depleted uranium for you and your family, all that nice toxins and things from China and India, all of it, nothing being done by the illustrious, loving government. But they will tax everything you do and control your life. Finishing up quickly with Charles in Florida. Anything else, sir?
Yeah, how much time I got?
Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to say, like, I remember when he won the election. Like, I remember when you talk about the people, the public being dumbed down. I'm not saying my people are dumb or anything. But, like,
well, it's not only black folks that are worshiping Obama.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like,
black folks are, what, 12% of the population. It was white people that were the main group electing him.
Yeah, I'm like, when I went to work, and I told people that I had voted for Cynthia McKinney, like, you just voted for Satan, like, you didn't vote for Obama, what's wrong with you? Like these are people, like, I would consider, like, you know, good friends, or if not that, you know, associates.
Well, she's saying he's bad. She's saying he's bad.
Yeah, and they were like, I'm trying to tell them that, you know, that the government's just using him. He doesn't run anything. He works for them, not the other way around. And, you know, like, you know, he's just a puppet. You know, he's the MC. He's the spokesperson for, you know, the men behind the mirror. It's like, they don't want to see it. They can't take it. You know, it hurts them inside. And it's like, honestly, I believe, like, 8 years from now, like, still, like, people were like, no, he was the first black president. You're a racist. And I'm black, and I'm a racist, you know. And like, he's our new OJ. He's our new Michael Jackson, you know. Like,
well, it was like after 9/11, you know, if you weren't for everything Bush was doing, you were with Al-Qaeda. I appreciate your call. It's either you're with us or you're against us. Meanwhile, he's saying the banks are totally going to take over even more. I mean, this is the change. There is change. They're putting the whole New World Order in high gear. Let's go ahead and go to another call here. Let's talk to Matt in Connecticut. Matt, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate what you do. I just had two quick questions. I'll make it as quick as I can. First one, I was wondering, I have trouble sharing this with people, so I was wondering what is sort of the most fundamental, easy to articulate yet impossible to dispute 9/11, you know, truth fact.
We have two different embassy heads in Canada and Saudi Arabia, U.S. citizens, saying that they learned that they were ordered to give the supposed hijackers visas into the U.S. in the months before 9/11 when they were listed as supposed Al-Qaeda in the computers, and they were told, look, it's okay, let them in. These passports are, you know, these visas are their cover. They're really CIA operatives. And then the Lieutenant Colonel, the head of the Defense Language School in Monterey, Butler, went on record and said, we train these guys at our base. And then right there you say, why is there not an investigation? Why is there not an issue? You know, why is this not being raised? And then from there you have the NORAD drills of hijacked jets attacking the exact same buildings at the exact same time on record, and all the NORAD and FAA tapes saying, why are there all these drills going on at the same time as this really happening? Why am I having fake blips put all over my screens? Why has somebody hijacked the computer systems? I mean, right there.
Okay, that's a good one.
It's on record, sir. It's just on, and they just go, well, never mind that. And then they go give attention to the operatives and then their camp followers, you know, the fools that don't know they're being conned, the force multiplied mob, the establishment force multiplies through them, saying it was holograms or nothing really hit the building. That's now what the media and O'Reilly always talk about is the kooks, you know, who say it was space aliens did it. And they go, look at 9/11 truth. They think space aliens did the attacks, or they think it was space beams, or they think it was this or that. And then you notice all those groups will savagely attack all the legitimate thermite research, all the legitimate bombs in the buildings research, Marvin Bush running security, you know, Larry Silverstein saying, everybody, you know, we're going to blow the building up. Then those that are pushing all the other space beam theories, they will savagely attack us to try to take over the movement, and then we're nice and don't respond. They then call us agents. But they won't talk about those hijackers training at U.S. military bases. They'll just, shut up, it's holograms! and it's pretty sick. Anything else?
Okay. I just wanted to make one more question if I had time. I was just wondering if you know anything about any efforts to, like, repeal the Patriot Act or overturn it on either the state or the federal level?
Yes, I do, and I'll answer that question when we return in 3 short minutes. Then we're going to get into 9/11 truth, Obama, and a lot more. Stay with us. Was a prisoner of doubt. Well, the New World Order's not a prisoner of doubt. They're making their move on free humanity right now. Total dehumanization. They believe they're taking control of human evolutionary process. I got a newsflash for you. We don't compute in that future. You can face the facts, or you can fall to the New World Order. As for me, I'm not going along with the merchants of death and destruction and humiliation and pain. I'm going to stand with the innocents, the widows, the orphans, the little ones. And I'm more than happy to be chewed up, be destroyed by the New World Order. Because in that process, their tyranny will fall. The gambler understands. Man, it's hard to shut this song off. I'll take my chances on you. Again and again. These evil people are weak. They just don't play by the basic rules of humanity. They're like cancer in a body, destroying it. And they must be removed. They're coming straight on for us, no matter what we do, so we might as well fight back. The best defense is a good offense. Okay, I want to answer that last caller's question and then hit two big news items. And I'm going to watch tonight quite a bit of the propaganda and write some notes. I'm going to do a big, probably 30, 40 minute audio blog that'll be up in the morning before the show. So that'll be up on Infowars.com. My reportage on that. And tomorrow I might do 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. I got some interviews going on out here after the show. And I'm on Russia Today and some other foreign news tomorrow. So Mike Rivera, when I'm on those channels internationally, is going to be popping in doing news coverage here with us as well. I just love it because he looks so good on the video. We're trying to get more and more of our guests, you know, in studio with us via video system. You know, I kind of shrink from even covering the Obama thing, though I've covered bits and pieces of it, because it's so huge. There's so many facets. I probably wrote 20 pages of notes when I was on a trip last week, and I intend to try to, again, go over those tonight in the audio blog, but I'll get into that here in just a moment. And then, of course, get into some final calls from Ron, Ronnie, Paul, and Rob. And that'll be it for calls. To answer the earlier caller's question, is there any action to repeal the Patriot Act or restrict it, overturn it at the state, city, or federal level? And let me answer that question. Don't like tooting my horn, but it's just a fact. I put out a news article back in December of 2001, a month or so after the passage of the Patriot Act on October 27th, 2001, and I analyzed the bill, its attack on the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third, Fourth, Fifth, Tenth, everything. And I said, what we need is people at the county and city level to reaffirm the Tenth Amendment, states' rights, and to go in and say, even though the feds will claim it's only symbolic, that counties and cities and states are going to follow the Bill of Rights and Constitution. It's just a declaration that they follow the Bill of Rights and Constitution and that they will not assist. And I got the idea from librarian groups saying we're not going to go, you know, be part of this as a guild, and bookstores and others saying you're not going to have computerized list of what everybody reads. We're not going to give that to you without warrants. Then you got to have oath or affirmation and probable cause. So that's where the original idea came from. I said people need to go with this. Some groups picked up the idea, and last time I checked, Google cities or states repeal Patriot Act. It'll be like 3 years old. But last time I checked, 7 states repealed the Patriot Act, and they said, we're going to follow the Constitution Bill of Rights. We're going to order our people in government to follow the law and to not be part of this unconstitutional monstrosity. And then last time I checked, 800-plus cities had, including Austin, Texas, and many other areas, and that's covered in my film, The Matrix of Evil, where we go down there and defeat it. And the city of Austin said, yes, the Bill of Rights Constitution is in force. And, of course, we told everybody, this Patriot Act isn't about terrorists or Al-Qaeda. This is for U.S. citizens, and this will be used against everybody. And it has been used in tens of thousands of drug cases, and you name it, where they go, well, we're just going to use the Patriot Act. We don't need no stinking warrants, where they can sneak in your house, break in, plant things if they want without warrants. I mean, this is asinine. Especially when you know that they're shipping the majority of the narcotics in, like they ship the terrorists in. Again, they create the crisis, they offer the solution. But I've already spent a lot of time on that. Did you guys find one of those articles? Well, just type cities repeal Patriot Act. States fight Patriot Act, something like that. And I can show the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers this. Because obviously people have forgotten about this happening. And regardless, that shows what you can do at the state level. Now, that said, I want to tell you about a couple sponsors that made this show possible. Then I'm going to get into Obama and an encapsulated analysis and then into 9/11 Truth and then some calls. First off, I do want folks to know that our biggest sponsor is eFoods Direct. The website is eFoodsDirect.com. We'll put their website up on screen for you here in a little while. eFoodsDirect.com. And I just hope that people will get prepared. I hope that people will be self-sufficient. I hope that folks will get these high-quality, grown right here in the United States, storable foods that are just so important to have so that you're not dependent on government. That's their plan. Blow out the whole economy, bring down the society, so that your only recourse is to turn to them. So there's riots and things, and so the public gets sold on having troops on the streets. So give them a call at 1-800-409-5633, 1-800-409-5633, and give you free brochures or audio CDs. You can also go to the website and watch a lot of free videos they've got up there with all the materials, the information, and what's in the food. You can see the food. Non-GMO, right here from the U.S., except for the bananas. They have to get that up from in the Caribbean area. eFoodsDirect.com, 1-800-409-5633. Then, of course, there's a Cola Blue. We got one right here in the office. I've got one at my house. What an amazing system. It's got 7 filters. They corrected me, not 5. 7 filters it goes through after it just grabs humidity out of the air. And it condensates in there. And voila, you then have crisp, clean water with none of the byproducts that are in the major water supplies. In fact, I've got a news article here out of the Mail Online. Gender-bending chemicals in our rivers grow more potent. In England, the U.S., every major water supply in the United States has Prozac, Ritalin, birth control, hormones, and that's why it's killing the fish. It's making them be, both sexes have deformities. A cocktail of gender-bending chemicals entering rivers and streams is more potent and harmful than anyone realized, it has been revealed. Scientists have found an entirely new class of chemicals that is changing male fish into females, and it just goes on from there. So here's the article. I want to show folks this article on screen. Anyways, Ecola Blue. EcolaBlue.com, ECOLOBlue.com, or 866-585-4044, 866-585-4044. I mean, if you live up in northern Canada out on a farm and you've had your well tested, you don't need this. But for everybody else who even has wells that are, because the rivers are going down, and the toxic waste from all the cities and the sewage just builds up, and folks are nuts if they don't have an Ecola Blue or filter their water in some way. And this is as clean as you can get it. Just right out of the air. 866-585-4044, EcolaBlue.com. Kind of mixed an ad in with a news article, but I happen to have that laying right there. I see those similar stories every day. Like this one, I meant to spend more time. They're kidnapping the old people and throwing them out of their houses in England, and then the bureaucrats move into their houses themselves. I covered that earlier, but this goes on in Austin all the time. This is one of the first things I did when I got on the air back in late 95, early 96, was fight these bastards. And let me tell you, you tell people this is going on, and they just can't believe it, man. I've seen cases in Houston where if you don't pay a parking ticket, they throw old people, because they know they can't fight back, out of their house and move into the 200-grand house. The bureaucrats do. This is out in England. Oh, my gosh. I've got all this news here I want to get to and cover. I can't do an overdrive today because we have folks coming into the office. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do here. All right, let me just be brief on the Obama, and I promise an audio blog on this afternoon, be posted tomorrow morning probably. Hell, I can probably just keep Aaron up here, poor guy, and have him upload it later. I can just send it over to him from my house. And then tomorrow, I'm going to do an in-depth breakdown of Obama. But here's the bottom line. Here's how they work. They create the stage terror, offer you the solution, which you think is aimed at foreigners and truly aimed at you. They stage the economic collapse by design with the big central banks that have designed and engineered this. Then they offer the solution of unlimited tens of trillions to themselves that we've got to pay back in tax money. They say, you better pass unlimited power for us in the banker bailout, or we will be in a depression. That then destroys the economy even further, which is what they want. Then they don't spend any of that money, which wasn't $700 billion. They keep using that number. It's $8.5 trillion at least, to buy up everything with our money. Then we have to pay for it in taxes. And now Obama comes out and says, I need even more power with a new private central bank in the United States that can just give unlimited amounts of U.S. currency to insurance companies, General Electric, whoever we want, buying controlling stock, buying off corporate CEOs to allow this vertical integration. The Rockefellers went in and took control of their oil companies again from Rex Tillerson. And now ExxonMobil has announced that global warming's real, called for a global tax. Meanwhile, there's still people. You can go watch trailers for Endgame online or go watch the interview I did with the Rothschild where I say it's a global tax. And he goes, no, it's not a tax. It's a conspiracy theory. Meanwhile, they're announcing all over the news it's a global tax. And they go, no, it's not. It's a global tax. It's not a global tax. It's a global tax. And using psych warfare techniques against people for folks kind of go, what in the world's going on? Just an endless tapestry of fraud and corruption. So again, they get everybody scared. They say, give the bankers unlimited power or horrible things are going to happen. They then bring in Barack Obama as the savior. But this is a new wrinkle in everything. Because normally they kind of play the left-right paradigm and demonize while at the same time building up a politician and create the illusion that they're running things and they're in charge. And that's happening with Obama, but on steroids. But there's nothing negative. It's just all praise and worship, and he can do no wrong. And the key here is they say over and over again with the pundits, do whatever Barack Obama says, and he will fix it. But the challenge, the media says over and over again to the American people, is will you do what Obama says? Will you help him? Will you come in there and by helping him, will you accept national compulsory service? You'll get a free Starbucks coffee. And then notice how they introduce it. It isn't that it's going to be work brigades or spy forces or domestic military or 18 to 24 and a new domestic military. That's all announced in the fine print. That's what they're going to do. But at first it's, I need all of you to help at soup kitchens. Well, who's against soup kitchens? I go and do that sometimes when I have time. Give money to Meals on Wheels when I can't. But see, well, you're for soup kitchens, aren't you? Yeah, but I'm not for, it's like calling the Patriot Act, when it's not patriotic, it's the opposite. Well, it's the same thing. This is mislabeling. And, well, you're for national compulsory soup kitchens, aren't you? I mean, you got to roll your sleeves up and help Obama. That's how he's going to fix things. But so see, on the news, it'll be soup kitchens and then, oh, and youth uniforms and kids marching around screaming, hail Obama, and the mass media, the comic books, the culture. They've got Obama comic books, you know, where he's Superman and Spider-Man, and he's the savior, you know, put out by Marvel Comics, going $200 a piece, their first printing. Now into the third printing, just, oh my God, Obama, it's so incredible, he'll save us, he's Superman. Mixing false reality, the fiction reality, with reality. So again, Obama's coming in as the savior, he'll fix it all. You've just got to go along with the uncomfortable bad things he's going to do, like keeping FEMA camps open, closing Guantanamo, but moving people to other camps. You've got to support all these new taxes and regulations. You've got to support the new carbon taxes. You've got to support new wars. You've got to support more and more bailouts of the bankers. And they say on the news, you know, the public doesn't like the $700 billion being kept and it being, but they don't mention that it's secret, that they won't tell anybody where it's being held or that it's $8.5 trillion. But, you know, we have to do this. And so, you know, we better go along with Obama because, you know, he's got the group of experts that know how to fix this crisis. when it's the same group of experts, like Timothy Geithner, who engineered the whole thing, and who's above the law and doesn't pay taxes, and was told he didn't pay taxes and said, "Ah, screw you." Just like 65% or more of Congress every year doesn't pay income tax. They just go, why? We rule. So they are going to build him up. I believe the stock market's going to go up for a while. People are going to say, oh, my God, he's really fixing things. We've got to get behind everything he says and everything he does. We've got to support the carbon tax on all CO2, methane, and every other carbon put off by life forms and every industry. We've got to put taxes on it. We've got to regulate it. We've got to have a guest worker program. We've got to have increases in foreign aid to help the starving. But really, it's to euthanize them, sterilize them, forced abortions. We've got to get behind, just like Pat Robertson. They're all lining up, the comic books, the culture, the media, Fox News. Pat Robertson saying socialism will save us. Obama is the answer. We've got nothing will stop him. It is of the Lord God told me. And then the media with the images of just smiling, happy crowds every day, just going, Obama, Obama, just creating this hysteria bandwagon of stuff's real bad, but the news says that Obama's got a plan to fix it, and if I just do whatever he says, if I follow whatever he says, it's all going to be fixed. If I just do whatever Barack Obama says, and folks, making this film about Obama, working on here every day, I mean, just the depths of how evil he is, how evil his handlers are, the horrible things they're planning, how they lie, how they spin, how they break all their promises. This is going to be a great betrayal, a false hope, this huge Obama deception. But again, within that is another deception, because it's all about him as if he actually runs something instead of the shadow government that now isn't shadow, with NORTHCOM and the 10 FEMA regions openly announcing they're putting troops on the streets and spies and tattletale squads. And they're going to have lots of attempts on Obama's life, and the dear leaders trying to fix the economy and trying to help the children, but terrorists tried to strike again, and my God, they use guns, and you know what, Obama's got to restrict the guns. And then Obama's openly announcing, and his new attorney general is openly announcing, that they're trying to pass a law in Congress where they can ban by executive fiat through the attorney general any guns he wants, all semi-autos. I read the bill yesterday on air. It's happening. National gun registration's been introduced. And it still doesn't matter. We've just got to do it. He's saving us. And they call it change. More government, more regulation, more control, more bureaucracies, more welfare to bankrupt the states, to get everybody on the government tit, to get everybody under their control. You know, I promised to get to this 9/11 news, so we'll do that in the final segment. I don't have time to get to all your calls. For everybody that's holding, call back tomorrow. I'll go to the head of the line. I'm going to come back, get into 9/11 truth and the way it's being attacked. And I'm going to spend more time on this later in the week with Daniel Sinjata. Stay with us. Okay, I want to move fast because we're almost out of time. But I was just looking at the screen earlier. Another article about, you know, school superintendents all across the country said they're implementing the Obama system in their schools. But see, they couldn't say the federal government system, really under federal control in the schools, public schools, government indoctrination centers. And so they say, oh, it's Obama. They make him the superstar, the rock star, the super Michael Jordan, the Arnold Schwarzenegger on steroids, pun intended, culturally. And then they attach the whole New World Order train to him. And then he is the front man, drags it through with the public going like this because the economy's falling apart and they're scared. And they're going, Obama. Obama, Obama, just bowing down like it's to some idol. And then they implement the total federal takeover, the youth brigades, all of it. We're in deep trouble, folks. But we may still have time to turn this around, because they admit within a few months, 150 days max, the public is going to turn against him and see that it's a fraud, just like they did with Bush. And that's our job to do that. To put out the issues, to put out the facts. Now, I want to play this clip. It's from a new A&E show, FBI show, portrays 9/11 truthers as dope-smoking terrorists. This guy's buying grenade launchers to kill U.S. troops. He's a 9/11 truther. They also play subtle race card. They do it both ways. You know, he's a kind of a gangsterish black guy who wants to kill the troops, and he's also smoking pot. So the image is terrorists smoke pot, terrorists are 9/11 truthers. And this is an A&E program put out by Hearst Publishing that owns it, the Fathers of Yellow Journalism. And this ties into the Violent Radicalization Act, all these national TV hosts saying 9/11 truthers are terrorists with no incidents, no evidence. We're exposing the establishment of the terrorist. And this is why the Senate and the House have said we're dangerous, we've got to be dealt with, our free speech has got to be restricted. Because if we expose that they carried out the terror, they have to stop staging terror attacks, and that takes their tool of hitting us with a terror attack and then posing as the savior and saying that guy did it so they can direct us into some new country to attack. So that's what they're doing. Let's go ahead and play this clip.
Hey, you here for my launch cards.
Look, man, if I could just get what I came for, and I'll be on my way.
You a truther or a sheep?
What?
9/11 was a false flag operation, man. Wake up. A self-inflicted wound to control the masses. You know there was no planes. All done with holograms and CGI.
Yeah, man, look, if I can just...
What's your rush, bro?
So, and you've seen the national drug policy ads where if you smoke marijuana, you're aiding Al-Qaeda. So it's multi-propaganda rolled in here. And then notice the government angle I told you years ago they were going to attack us with is the CGI no-planers. That's an operation. Now, you got idiots that are first multiplied that don't know they're being controlled that are pushing that. And so all over TV, all over media, they're inserting... Just like they insert that homeschoolers abuse their children and homeschoolers dumb their children down when it's actually statistically the opposite. Just like they tell you, you know, that guns are illegal when they're not illegal, but somebody's at your house cleaning your carpet and they see a gun case and freak out and call the police on you in Texas. Or people see that somebody's homeschooling and they call the CPS on them saying homeschooling's illegal because they have sitcoms and dramas where they just suddenly go, you know, it's a new world order and we got to get rid of this homeschooling. You know, they just inject this. You're being attacked by propaganda. I mean, even if you don't believe this show and don't like me, what is the point in wanting to be conned and being screwed? Everything we told you came true. We've been right about almost everything, ladies and gentlemen. We've laid out the facts historically. We know what's going on, and we're doing our best to fight the New World Order. And we need your help, listeners, to spread the word about the free podcast with 125,000 people a day downloading the free podcast in the listen section at Infowars.com. And tens of thousands every day listening to the archive, or hundreds of thousands a day listening to restreams, or millions on the AM and FM dial, and millions a day watching our clips on YouTube and Google. We're having a huge effect. We've got a chance to beat these people. The public is waking up to the New World Order, but they're getting conned by Obama, but only for a season. Rebroadcast starts right now. One place. The internet streams at Infowars.com. God bless you all. Continual coverage of the coronation of our God tomorrow.